Pianos and Pianos and the unique technique Accelerated Piano Method guarantees you'll be playing exciting songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Click on the video now to go to their website. The unique technique Accelerated Piano Method, only at Pianos and Pianos.
Officials have put the death toll in more than 100, with nearly 200 wounded.
One of the explosions happened fairly close to a major amusement park. The Ferris wheel is still turning, and actually there are families getting on rides. It's sort of an indication that this has, over the years, become part of the backdrop of everyday life.
Well, Defense Secretary Robert Gates is in Kabul for meetings with President Hamid Karzai. He said at a joint news conference with Gates that it will be at least 15 years before Afghanistan will have the financial ability to pay for the security forces necessary to protect the country. The declaration comes as the U.S. is preparing to send in an additional 30,000 troops. Gates says no one is under any illusions about the challenges.
It's going to be a heavy lift. There's no question about it. But our folks are confident they can get it done.
Well, today, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, General Stanley McChrystal, and Washington's ambassador to Kabul, Carl Eikenberry, will testify before two congressional committees. New developments in the Tiger Woods story. For the latest, let's go live to CBS News correspondent Peter King in Orlando.
Nick, an ambulance was called to the Woods home early this morning. Rescue crews taking a blonde woman to the same hospital where Woods was treated after his accident. Another blonde woman in a black Escalade seen following the ambulance. Now, a source says the patient is middle-aged. A comparison of pictures suggests the patient may be Tiger Woods' mother-in-law. The second woman may be his wife, Elin. And there's another report that now says the patient has been released. Live in Orlando, Peter King, CBS News.
The spotlight is on jobs again today as President Obama makes what's billed as a major speech on how to put more Americans back to work. Let's get the details live this morning from CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer at the White House.
And, Nick, the president's expected to propose using some of the leftover federal bailout money to create jobs.
Our biggest challenge now is making sure that job growth matches up with economic growth.
So he'll call for tax incentives, expanded loan guarantees, and at least $100 billion to improve roads and other infrastructure projects. Republicans oppose any big job creation programs. GOP Chairman Michael Steele accuses the administration of foot-dragging on the unemployment issue.
You know, another speech, another summit. This is not rocket science.
The president will use that speech, though, to say that job creation is his top domestic goal. Live at the White House, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
There is some encouraging economic news from TransUnion Credit. The company is forecasting a drop of nearly 3% in mortgage delinquencies next year. TransUnion's Ezra Becker says it would be proof the economy is on the road back.
We expect the delinquency numbers to decrease going into the second half of 2010, and that will be indicative, certainly at that point, that the nation will be willing to recovery.
And TransUnion is also forecasting a drop in credit card delinquencies in the coming year. It's an inch-by-inch, vote-by-vote fight over health care reform in the Senate. CBS's Bob Fuss reports one provision is especially contentious.
The anti-abortion amendment puts Democrats in a real bind. Most oppose it, and they'll probably defeat it. But its sponsor, Nebraska Democrat Ben Nelson, says if he's not satisfied on abortion, he won't vote for the health reform bill. Without him, Democratic leaders can't pass health reform unless they can get a Republican vote, and chances of that are pretty slim.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Today, AM 760 is brought to you by Cottman Transmission.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
In Nuggets spoiled the Philadelphia homecoming of former Nugget Allen Iverson, the Nuggets beat the Sixers 93-83. And the Avs snapped their losing streak with a shutout win over the St. Louis Blues. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
It's a messy start to this morning's commute. All that overnight snow that came down stuck to the metro highways, so things are going to be slick and sloppy as speeds, or things rather, do get up and running. Checking on those speedometers, everybody's already going about 10 or 15 miles an hour slower than usual for this time of morning on 225 across Aurora. Same deal on I-70 over that elevated stretch. We have a surface street accident already, 17th in Colorado. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Don't miss Kohl's cash-in sale this Tuesday and Wednesday only from 7 a.m. till midnight. You'll get $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 you spend. It's like getting paid to shop. The more you know, the more you Kohl's. Kohl's. Expect great things.
I enjoyed his company. He had a warm, fresh humor that made up for his constant references to a former L.A. life. The retinue of women who supposedly still called him long distance every night. His past football exploits. The celebrities he knew.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Out of many, we are one. That while we breathe, we hope. And where we are met with cynicism and doubt, and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can.
So what's President Obama going to do about jobs? They will find out this morning at 11:15 Eastern when he gives a big speech over at the Brookings Institute. Hello, everybody, and a happy Tuesday morning. Good to see you today, this December 8, 2009. You're listening to the Bill Press Show. We are coming to you live coast to coast from our little radio studio here on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. We're just down the street from the United States Capitol building where the Senate is revving up in its debate on health care reform. Today is when the Democrats, that's the deadline given by Majority Leader Harry Reid, today is when the Democrats have to come up with a final solution on the private, on the public plan option. And down at the White House, President Obama not only getting ready for his big speech today on jobs, but getting ready to head off to Oslo tomorrow to pick up the Nobel Peace Prize. And all eyes on Copenhagen as well, where the conference on climate change is underway, 192 nations represented. So there's a lot going on here this second week of December, lots to talk about. That's why we're here, and that's why you're there. Give us a call at 866-55-PRESS, 866-55-77-377 on the website today. So new photos from our big event out in Chicago Saturday night. Check it out. Thanks to our good friends at WCPT. And under today's links, you can, if you weren't there, pardon me, weren't there at the Unity Temple in Oak Park, you can enjoy the photographs as well. And I mentioned some of the sponsors yesterday. I really wanted to send a, another special, very special thanks to one of the main sponsors of the event, the good men and women of Operating Engineers Local 143, the stationary operating engineers. Bill Yaculo, their president, was there at a lunch lunch on Saturday and at the big event Saturday night, and they're the ones who supplied our jackets and our sweatshirts that we're all enjoying here to help us cope with the cold weather in Washington, D.C. So wear the insignia of Operating 143 proudly, and thank you guys, men and women, for all your support of Progressive Talk Radio. Tiger Woods, the latest, first to say hello to Team Press here, Peter Ogburn and Dan Henning.
Bill.
Hello there.
We've been following all the news this morning, including word from down in Orlando that an ambulance was called earlier this morning to Tiger Woods' home, and a woman was taken away in the ambulance. It appears that it is the Tiger's mother-in-law, the mother of Elin. Is that how you pronounce her name?
Yes. Elin. Yes.
Elin. And I mean, just adding, compounding the problems that Tiger Woods is facing these days. But this is probably the least of his problems, that his mother-in-law was taken to the hospital. Yeah.
Nice that she's still staying at his house. Who knows if he's there?
Yeah, exactly.
The word is that he's got not.
Yeah.
That he's no longer there. Who
knows? I would love to know what's going on under that roof.
Why can't he just pull a David Letterman and just come out and say, listen, here's what happened?
He would have been better off if he had pulled a David Letterman, but David Letterman couldn't resist the opportunity last night to pile on a little bit.
Boy, it looks like that Tiger Woods is having some trouble, huh?
Yeah, the audience gets the irony of that joke because there's not much more Letterman can say.
You know what, I was thinking if this thing had happened 3 months ago, I'd have material for a year.
Yes, indeed. And then Letterman points out that, you know, maybe President Obama could help out.
President Obama is sending troops to Afghanistan. Well, hell, he ought to be sending them to Tiger Woods' house, you know what I mean? I wish he would stop calling me for advice.
Yeah. Oh, poor Tiger. He's going to be the butt of jokes for a long, long time to come. All right, we got a million-dollar show for you here today. Jared Bernstein, we're going to kick off the hour with Jared, who's the chief economic advisor for Vice President Biden. And we'll talk a little bit later in the hour with Frank Rich from the New York Times. But first,
it's the Full Court Press.
On this Tuesday, other headlines making news. Rapper Eminem is ruffling the gay community's feathers. He went after singers Adam Lambert and Clay Aiken in a new song released last week, saying they, quote, ain't gonna make it. They get so mad when I call them both fake it's. Lambert first mistook that word, fake it's, for a gay slur that sounds quite familiar or similar to that, but later said he was sorry for misunderstanding the lyric and doesn't mind being called fake. He says he'll definitely take the publicity from Eminem, and as he must be doing something right if Eminem is talking about it.
Again, he's a one-man publicity machine these days.
Mm-hmm.
What if he had won? He probably wouldn't get any publicity at all.
As this year's decade nears an end, Billboard.com gives us the top one-hit wonders of the last 10 years, and its number one is Daniel Powter's Bad Day, made famous by American Idol in 1996. It's followed by Lean Back by Terrorist Squad, Butterfly by Crazy Town, This Is Why I'm Hot by Mims, Gnarls Barkley's Crazy, and Blue Cantrell's Hit 'Em Up Style.
So these are
one-hit wonders, the only song by each of these artists.
I don't know that the Gnarls Barkley one deserves it.
What was the number one?
Daniel Powter, Bad Day. It was the loser song from American Idol back 3 years ago.
I think this is that's probably an accurate number one, the biggest one-hit wonder of the aughts.
Yeah. Yeah, Tiger had a bad day the other day.
And Carrie Underwood has become a big hockey fan now that she's been taking an NHL player, dating an NHL player, rather, for a little over a year. This after being a big football fan. You remember she dated Dallas Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo. Now that she's with Mike Fisher of the Ottawa Senators, she said hockey is a real man's sport, saying hockey players make football players look like weenies.
Oh, come on. God. Yeah, well, I mean, hockey is a pretty competitive sport and pretty rough on the ice.
So is football.
That's true. I'm not saying it's not. 13 minutes after the hour, President Obama with a big job summit last week at the White House. Then we heard got some good news on the job front on Friday. Today, the president goes to Brookings Institute to lay out what action the administration might take or ask Congress to take to help the job situation. What can we expect today? Well, here's a man who knows, who helped put it together, Chief Economist for Vice President Joe Biden, Jared Bernstein, joining us back on the Bill Press Show. Hey, Jared, good to have you with us again.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me back.
All right. So what? Tell us what the, you know, it's just a little ahead of the time that he's going to give the speech. So
yeah.
what can we expect today? Some specific proposals from the president?
The president will certainly talk about some specific areas wherein we think we can build off of some of the successes of the Recovery Act and do more. He'll talk about, as he's been talking about, ways to make sure we thaw those credit lines to smaller businesses. It's very important for them to have access to credit in order to make payroll, expand payroll, to build inventories, maybe to expand their businesses. He'll talk about some.
Let me slow you down there. So this is a credit line that the banks have not been giving so far. What makes you think the banks are going to change their policies?
Well, one area, and I think it's been underreported, Bill. One area of success in the Recovery Act has been a loan program through the Small Business Administration. It's called the 7A loan program. A little bit early to be talking about 7A programs. So I apologize, right. But this is a program where the government offers a significant guarantee to the lender, in this case to the banks. It forgives certain fees associated with these loans. And the loan volume on these programs gone up 70 to 80% since it's been on tap. So that's one way to help improve credit lines.
Mm-hmm. And get the banks maybe some confidence that they can go into this area.
Yeah. I think that's right, Bill. One of the things you're seeing happening is that banks have gone from being, I think, underpricing risk to be highly risk-averse, such that even creditworthy borrowers can't get the lines of credit they need. And an economy like ours, that's the lifeblood. So we need to help get that blood flowing.
Okay. What else are we going to hear today?
Well, I think the president has been talking about some kind of a tax, hiring tax credit, some kind of a tax credit to businesses to mm-hmm. lower the cost of hiring. He's talked about green jobs, which is, of course, a really important undertapped area of demand, both in terms of households and in terms of jobs. He's talked about infrastructure, and he's going to continue to circle in on those ideas.
And the question of using TARP money, this is something that came up at yesterday's briefing at the White House several times. Is there active consideration of using some either leftover or return TARP money for new construction jobs?
Let me be clear that without leaning too far into the president's speech, he has, Robert Gibbs, our spokesperson to the press, has talked about the fact that really quite thankfully, I think the TARP program is turning out to be considerably less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons for that is the economy is doing a little bit better on the macro sense. We still have a big problem in terms of jobs, family income. We know that middle class families are still struggling, but in terms of banks being able to borrow into capital markets, that's improved, and that's helped dampen the price tag on the TARP. And yes, those reserves can be used for deficit reduction. They can be steered toward job creation. You'll hear more about that in the speech today.
So is this rightfully called a second stimulus package, Jared?
I think not. The stimulus package was a large, diverse package with lots of different components. I think what we're talking about now are a few, you know, count them on one hand, and mm-hmm. still have a finger or two left, a few targeted programs to help directly boost job creation, build off some of the successes that the Recovery Act has generated in the area of green jobs, tax credits, infrastructure, and try to build on this improving, not positive yet, but improving trend in terms of job creation.
Now, there's a question, which is oft debated, about how effective the first stimulus, or the only stimulus package that we have, the $787 billion, has been in creating new jobs. I know you've got your point of view. First, I want to hear you and our listeners a different point of view from Republican Minority Leader John Boehner.
More than 3 million Americans have lost their jobs since the president signed the Democrats' trillion-dollar stimulus bill. And that the bill was supposed to keep unemployment below 8% and put people back to work immediately.
So why have you failed so miserably?
Look, I think Representative Boehner has been working really hard not to see the evidence that's out there. And I'm not talking about evidence from us. I'm talking about evidence from independent economists, most recently, by the way, from the Congressional Budget Office. Now, the CBO, as I know you've discussed on your show a lot, is considered by Democrats and Republicans the nonpartisan arbiter of all things countable.
Right.
The CBO released a report a couple of days that said the following. The Recovery Act is responsible for saving or creating up to 1.6 million jobs through the end of September. It's responsible for keeping the unemployment rate about up to a point lower than it would have otherwise have been. And there's about six or seven other macroeconomic estimators out there that have come to the same thing. The problem is, and I think this is important, so give me a chance to quickly spell this out.
Okay.
The problem is that John Boehner and others are doing a very simple thing. They're saying the unemployment went up, therefore the plan has failed. We're still losing jobs, therefore the plan has failed. There's no room in their analysis for the fact that we were losing 740,000 jobs in January, the month we took office, and 11,000 jobs last month, okay? 700 plus when we got here, 11,000 last month. Now, 11,000 jobs is far too many. I'm not calling that success.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get to where you need to go when you start at 7,000 without passing through a period of diminished losses. According to Boehner, if the unemployment rate's going up, nothing's working. What if the unemployment rate would have gone up higher, which is exactly what CBO finds? There's hundreds of thousands of educators, school teachers, infrastructure workers, construction workers out there who have jobs through construction, have jobs through the Recovery Act. Is the act completely offsetting the pain of the deepest recession since the Great Depression? Not in your wildest imagination. There's no conceivable government program that could. Is it taking some of the edge off that pain and helping us to get back on track? Yes, it is, and you really have to be trying hard not to see it, and Boehner probably tries harder than anyone.
Is this going to be, then, another jobless recovery?
Look, this is really a technical question about when the beard-stroking academics decide that the recovery is underway.
I guess
from our perspective, it's not a recovery until it's accompanied by robust jobs.
Right. I was just going to say, I guess the test is when you have positive job growth as opposed to even losing 11,000, which, as you point out, is a vast improvement from where we were in January and February. When we finally see adding jobs, then we know we're on our way back, right?
Exactly. I mean, you can call it a recovery, you can call it a recession. As far as we're concerned, if working families are still struggling in the job market, it's still a recession. And they are. And I want to be clear. Yes, we've made progress in terms of moving towards period where job growth is suitable to the needs of the American people, but we're simply not there yet. We're not out of the woods by a long shot.
All right. Well, you've got a lot more work to do. We'll let you get back to it.
Thank you, Bill. A big speech
today. And Jared, thanks so much for taking time for us this morning.
Sure.
All right. See you down at the White House a little bit later. Chief Economist for the Vice President, Jared Bernstein, here on the Bill Press Show.
The official morning show of the Obama generation, The Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk.
AM760.net.
Losing your hair is bad news. Denial doesn't help. I'm Brian Reichenberg with exciting news. If you've been waiting for science to create a miracle, our lab in Italy has just released Kevis 8. This is the world's first topically applied enzyme complex that targets DHT, the medically recognized cause of hair loss. For years, thousands have received amazing results with Kevis, and now it's even better. Clinically tested, Kevis 8 promotes healthy hair growth for both men and women. Kevis can be used in conjunction with other products and treatments. Kevis, that's K-E-V-I-S. In celebration of our new 8th generation release, first 200 callers will receive 50% off plus an additional 30 days free. Call now, 888-604-HAIR. 888-604-HAIR. Call 888-604-HAIR. That's 888-604-HAIR.
Do you know why so many people have trouble learning new languages? Because they make the mistake of trying to learn it when they should just absorb it. And right now, a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone will show you how. So stop memorizing, stop translating, and please stop doing drill after boring drill. Because now you can unlock your hidden language learning potential with the world's fastest, easiest way to learn, Rosetta Stone. We don't want you to take our word for it. We don't even want you to listen to the U.S. diplomats, over 10,000 schools, or NASA, who all believe in our program. We just hope you'll accept our free demo so you can experience the power of Rosetta Stone for yourself. Discover the secret to learning a language faster than you ever imagined. For your free demo, call 1-800-377-9196. Don't try to learn a language. Just absorb it. Call 1-800-377-9196. That's 1-800-377-9196.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
400. Here, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk on your iPhone or BlackBerry. Details on AM760.net.
This is the Bill Press Show.
26 minutes after the hour, Tuesday, December 8th, the Bill Press Show. Frank Rich, great New York Times columnist, coming up in the next block of the Bill Press Show. Meanwhile, we learned this morning that Defense Secretary Robert Gates has landed in Afghanistan, a surprise visit to Afghanistan. But he certainly is over there to carry the message to the Afghan government and the Afghan people about what this new strategy, the President Obama's strategy on Afghanistan, is all about. And when he got off the plane, he told the Afghan people, look, we're here to help, but we're not going to be here long, and we're your friends.
Our troops are here only as long as it takes to help you defeat your enemies. We will fight by your side until Afghan forces are large enough and strong enough to secure the nation on their own.
If only there were a government in Afghanistan that were capable of taking on that responsibility. If only there were a government in Afghanistan here that the people had confidence in, because they have no confidence in this one, and that is the fly in the ointment of the Obama Afghanistan strategy. And Secretary Gates said, we're not alone.
When all is said and done, some 43 nations will have a force that is nearly 150,000 strong. A clear demonstration of the world's unwavering resolve to help the Afghan people.
They used to call that the Coalition of the Willing. Remember? Look, that's so silly. There are 150,000 troops there. Over 100,000 of them are from the United States, and we're paying the entire price tag. That doesn't mean those other 42 nations are putting in a hell of a lot of help. No. All right, let's come back and talk Afghanistan with Frank Rich.
This is the Bill Press Show.
The Senate's health care debate affects everyone. See it all live this month on C-SPAN 2. Follow amendments to the bill on topics including abortion and the public option. Track daily votes. Plus evening and weekend sessions and a debate expected to last weeks. There's nowhere else on television to see it unedited and commercial-free. For the latest healthcare events and C-SPAN 2 schedule news, visit c-span.org/healthcare.
GEICO's been around over 70 years, helping people save hundreds. But yesterday, I'm going through paperwork and I'm realizing just how many ways GEICO can save people money. Good driver discounts, defensive driver discounts, multi-car discounts, discounts for cars with airbags, And I don't mean having your mother-in-law in the passenger seat. Sorry, it's just a little car insurance humour. I think that joke's over 70 years old, too.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Get ready to take down a number that will change the way you look at home loans forever. I call it My Bank, My Loan, My Way. It's a line of credit that pays off your existing loan and keeps your equity available to you when you need it. And it uses your normal household checking account to lower your average daily balance, and you pay a lot less interest, which shortens your loan without changing your spending habits. The best home loan ever. 866-259-8206. 866-259-8206.
Hey, do you owe money? Have big bills? Hello? Yes, I'm talking to you. Well, here's what I want you to do. Go outside and get a big rock. Now, I want you to squeeze that rock real hard to see if you can get water to come out of it. Not happening, right? Well, that's the same thing as you paying back more money than you have or make. The reality is the only way you're going to get rid of all of your debts is to settle them for less than what you owe. Well, as crazy as this sounds, this is exactly what the partner companies and National Debt Relief will do for you. If you have credit card debt, department store card debt, gas card debt, medical bills, payday loan debt, in fact, any unsecured debt, National Debt Relief firms will help you settle those debts for less than what you owe. It's that simple. But you have to call them. Get a pen and take down this number or store it in your cell phone. 1-800-554-3775. When you call this number, you're going to get free information that holds the secrets the creditors don't want you to know that lets you pay less than you owe. Call 1-800-554-3775. 1-800-554-3775. This is a limited time offer, so call today. 1-800-554-3775.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Denver highways and surface streets might be snow-packed, icy, and slick for you this morning, so do be careful. Give yourself plenty of time. A couple of situations going on right now. Crash northbound I-25 approaching Surrey Ridge. That's in the cleanup phase. Also, a medical emergency right shoulder southbound 25 just north of Alameda. Your forecast, cloudy and cold. Snow lasting till late this afternoon. Lighter than we thought, though, just about 1 to 3 inches around Denver. Look for high around 8 degrees. Currently 6 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Now you can fly home for the holidays for less. To find the lowest United fares of the season, visit united.com/densale today before they're gone.
Announcing the Ally Bank online savings account with a rate that's among the most competitive in the country. If you're waiting for the terms and conditions, forget about it. It really is that straightforward. Nothing confusing, hazy, ambiguous, dubious, or dodgy. No double dealing, double speak, or double meanings. Just an online savings account with a great rate. Compare rates for yourself at allybank.com or call Ally at 877-247-ALLY. Ally. Straightforward. Member FDIC.
When your child has autism, there are many questions and few answers. That's why families across the country are going online to give researchers the insight only they can provide. Join the IAN Project at IANproject.org.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Is the Bill Press Show.
33 minutes now after the hour on this Tuesday, December 8th, 2009. It is the Bill Press Show. We're coming to you live from our little radio factory on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. Good to have you with us today. So, the president, as we know, held 10 in-depth meetings on what to do about Afghanistan, put in some 30 hours of his own time, not to mention flying over to Dover for that trip to receive the caskets of 18 Americans killed in Afghanistan, and paid a visit to Arlington National Cemetery, walked through the tombstones there, came back, and announced to the nation just a week ago today that he's decided to send 30,000 more troops to Afghanistan. But the difference is he's going to get them in quickly, he says, and out quickly, starting to bring them home in July 2011. How real is it? Is this the right strategy for the United States? I think the best piece I've read on this, not surprising because he writes the best column, I believe, in the country, was written by Frank Rich in last Sunday's New York Times. Good to have you back on the show, Frank. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you, Bill?
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you as well.
This is a time to get out of New York, isn't it? I mean, you know.
Yeah, no, but you can't get out. There's just too much traffic. You're barricaded everywhere.
I know. There are too many people. The hotels are, they double their rates at least at the holiday time, you know.
I know.
Take advantage of the season. So, grumble, I guess, right?
Yes.
So, Obama certainly put some time and reflection into this, unlike the decision-making process we saw under George Bush. But did he end up in the right place, Frank?
I think not. I think that his thinking and his deliberative process was sincere. I don't think this was some people, particularly on the left, think this was sort of a cynical attempt to give everybody a little, hawks and doves, left and right, a little something.
Yeah.
I think basically, Obama's a brilliant guy, but this is an irrational enemy we're fighting, and it's not an enemy that is located in one place, and it seems particularly not located in Afghanistan. And the idea of getting us bogged down further in this country, which has really not succumbed to any kind of foreign intervention for a very, very long time, if ever, when there is terrorism to fight, but it's in cells all over the place, including possibly in places like Denver, seems to me a misuse of American resources, and I fear it's going to come to grief.
Well, it seems that there are two lessons of history that are being ignored here. One of them is history itself. I mean, that we've seen John F. Kennedy, right, Richard Nixon and others, Lyndon Johnson, probably worst of all, right, it seems make this same mistake of listening to the generals who only have one solution, right, which is more troops.
Right. I think that the White House would argue, I'm not sure entirely persuasively, that they stood up to the generals, that they didn't give McChrystal, his maximum request and so on. And maybe to some extent they did. I mean, maybe they did temper it a bit. But the one LBJ lesson that's sort of lost in here by this White House is you can't have guns and butter. Here is a president with the most ambitious domestic program we've seen perhaps since Johnson, and he feels, and it's partially, I think, a reflection of Obama's own intellect and personality, that war can be contained, that we'll have the surgical thing, we'll have an escalation with some kind of end date on it, although the end date is, of course, murky, and that we can kind of neatly go in and solve this problem. But there are just too many moving pieces, and it's going to cost more money than they think. It always costs more money and more casualties than they think, and particularly when you're fighting an asymmetrical, irrational enemy, which is the case with al-Qaeda and its various affiliates and imitators.
I think another difference with President Bush was that President Obama acknowledged that this is expensive. In fact, it's $1 million per soldier, right? Which means $30 billion on top of what we're already spending, a total of $100 billion. But having said that, he didn't say how we're going to pay for it.
No, he didn't say how we're going to pay for it, and he didn't. And also, I think it's a fallacy to believe that we can set a price tag and it will hold to that price tag. You know, it's like when you do contracting work and have repairs on your house, only this is worse because you don't control most of it. And so I think that's even the numbers are fallacies.
How firm, you mentioned this end date. This July 2011, this is a lot of back and forth at the White House briefings with Gibbs on this, by the way, and they insist, they mean it, July 2011, we're going to start the transition. What's that mean to you? How firm is it? And
I think it's essentially meaningless. I don't doubt that that's their intention. And by the way, I don't doubt that on July of 2011, they'll say, yes, we're taking out X number of troops. But I think it's ultimately a bunch of smoke and mirrors, and this is going to, of course, be dictated by conditions on the ground.
It has to be.
They're unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. It has to be. Right?
Yeah. And so the point of it, I understand the political point, and I think he's sending a message not just to, say, concerned liberals in the United States, but also a message to the Karzai government and to the military that there is some sort of expiration date on this. But I don't think it's firm enough or meaningful enough. I don't think any sensible person, and I doubt anyone in the administration, really believes that it means a lot. And they weren't really emphasizing. It was grabbed onto after the speech by both sides in the debate. I think it was a relatively minor part of this policy.
Frank Rich, our guest, columnist for the New York Times here on the Bill Press Show. Frank, the news this morning of these three car bombings, I believe, in Baghdad. Last I saw, 121 people killed. I mean, just unimaginable violence still going on there, which shows us that despite our best intentions and draw down, we still have a second.
You're completely right. In fact, one point I wanted to get into my column on Sunday but failed to is there's now this sort of feeling, and not just among people who supported the Iraq war, but even it's part of the culture, that we've won the war in Iraq.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't won. First of all, even if it were to remain stable, we haven't won. We've cleaned up a mess that we helped create, and went into a country where there were not only no WMD, but no Al Qaeda until we went into it. That said, we don't know what's going to happen there.
Right.
Turnover is just beginning, and what the news this morning is an indication of, again, another moving piece that Obama really and the White House, no White House, has control over.
Well, none at all. Now, there's another bit of news this morning, a surprise, that Secretary of Defense Robert Gates took off without many people knowing where he was going, landed in Afghanistan this morning, and he had a message to the Afghani people. I wanted to play for you, Frank, part of
sure.
it here. It just shows that he's trying to tell them that this is not the United States alone. I hear a little echo here. I wonder if you do, too.
Okay.
When all is said and done, some 43 nations will have a force that is nearly 150,000 strong. A clear demonstration of the world's unwavering resolve to help the Afghan people.
Say, how about that? There are 43 nations.
Right, the coalition of the willing. And, you know, all I can think of is the John Stewart joke. What, didn't one of the Iraqi coalition partners send, like, monkeys to detonate bombs?
Yes, yes.
They've juiced it up a bit with NATO, but the war is incredibly unpopular among most of our allies. I was, in fact, by happenstance, in Germany the week before last, Thanksgiving week, and all there was in German public life a huge debate about the concerns about German involvement in the war,
mm-hmm.
and that's a relatively conservative, country.
Government.
So I think, it's a bit of hype. Yes, some countries are sending troops, but very reluctantly. The war is extremely unpopular in England. And again, what are we doing? Some analogies to Iraq are wrong, but some are right. We're going in this case with less support from the American people than the Iraq war had, with a completely unstable and corrupt partner in the Karzai government, and finally with spotty, at best, allied support.
Yeah, I mean, if there are 150,000 troops there and we have over 100,000 there, then the other 43 nations are not putting in a lot of help, right?
Right.
Just do the math.
Absolutely. And Fred Kaplan, who's a very good military affairs columnist in Slate magazine, actually did the math and showed that if you take in percentage terms, by the time our escalation is complete in Afghanistan, we will be supplying about 70% of the troops, whereas at the end of the Bush administration, the American component in Afghanistan was slightly under 50. So that tells you something right there.
Right. Hey, final question, I'll let you go, but
sure.
on another issue, do you think the president is a different war? Do you think the president's winning the war on health care, at least the public opinion war on health care?
I don't have a strong opinion of that. I find it hard to tell. I think he is, but I think it's pretty much down the middle. What do you think, Bill?
I think it's a little too early to tell. Obviously, if he gets my feeling is first of all, that he'll sign anything.
Right. I think they're totally right.
And that if he gets a bill out of the Congress, out of the House and the Senate, they can make it seem like the greatest thing since sliced bread. And he will, you know, at that point, be riding pretty high on it. Right now it's kind of muddled.
Right, but I feel the same way you do about the muddled part, and you're probably right. He'll sign anything. It will be considered a victory. Also, whatever it is will not have an immediate impact because it's going to take quite a while to implement it. And so you'll have a win on the board with people not quite examining what the win is, positively or negatively.
You know, right now, while all these deliberations in Congress, it turns people off, all this back and forth and everything, and I think that's where a lot of the, you know, the negativity is coming. But once if we get through that and he signs a bill and has a big signing ceremony, I think it's a win for him.
I think you're right. I think one reason why it's muddled, too, is most people, understandably, don't know what's in it.
You're right.
And polls show that people don't even know what the much-debated public option is, and you can't blame them because there have been so many conflicting plans, and one assumes that this very clever and adroit White House, once something is passed, assuming it is, will immediately come up with a talking point formula that will make it seem like, you know, the chicken in every pot and car in every garage and everything else.
It'll be like FDR. He's back again. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, Frank, it's always so good to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time.
Great talking to you, Bill.
Best
have a good holiday.
All right, you too. Happy holidays. Frank Rich,
thank you.
Best column every Sunday anywhere, and it's good to have him on the show.
Every time I turn the Bill Press Show, I get pumped up.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation.
Well, I don't need coffee. I throw the coffee out the window.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
The nightmare started after thieves broke into my car and took my purse and credit cards.
I'm Corey, a customer service agent at LifeLock, and that's Stephanie, another victim of identity theft.
Before I even knew it, the thieves had used my credit cards to buy several TVs. Then came the phone calls. Trying to fix this mess was devastating. It took me weeks. Nobody really cared very much. It was like, take a number.
As a LifeLock member, we know you by name, and not only do we help stop identity theft before it happens, if you become a victim of identity theft while a member of LifeLock because of a failure in our service, we will help you fix it up to $1 million. Restrictions apply. See LifeLock.com for details.
If only I had LifeLock then, but at $10 a month, you bet I have it now.
The call takes just minutes, and mention SECURE for an additional 20% off. That's like 2 months free. Call 1-800-983-0552. That's 1-800-983-0552. 1-800-983-0552.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Spec delays this morning. Have some snow-packed, icy roads around Denver and Boulder. Stop and go, southbound 25, 120th, all the way down to the turnpike. Also on southbound 2 1/4, Parker Road to 25. Just had an earlier medical emergency, southbound 25, just cleared around Alameda. In the opposing lanes, northbound I-25, got a crash at Surrey Ridge. Tough getting out of Castle Rock. But there are some icy roads. Do be careful this morning. Give yourself lots of time. Forecast snow, lighter than we first thought, 1 to 3 inches. Going to be cold, though, with highs around 8 degrees. Right now, 6 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Drain Solvers, a family-owned and operated company that's been in business for more than 14 years, has a holiday special you cannot pass up. During the month of December, Drain Solvers will camera your line for free with any regular sewer line cleaning. That's right, camera your line for free with any regular sewer line cleaning. That's a $269 savings. Drain Solvers diagnoses all problems before any repairs are done. Drain Solvers is a company you can trust and depend on. 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000 or drainsolvers.com.
The word is spreading. Ovation Cell Therapy really works. The thousands of letters, referrals, and survey responses about Ovation Cell Therapy tell it best.
I'm using the Ovation products because I've gone through chemotherapy for breast cancer. I started with the Ovation Cell Therapy when I lost the majority of my hair after my first treatment. And in just a month, my hair started growing back faster. That's when I began using the Complete Ovation System. I'm getting compliments on how fast my hair is coming back. I am truly amazed and completely satisfied with your product.
Ovation Cell
cell therapy is completely safe, non-toxic, with no side effects, and with just a simple cream rinse type application, helps grow your hair thicker, stronger, longer, and faster, up to twice as fast. Make your hair healthy again. Log on to ovationhair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special introductory offer. That's ovationhair.com. And remember to enter AM760 for your special discount. Ovationhair.com. Ovation is so good, it's guaranteed.
Finding something you can rely on is easier than you think. I'm Norm Miller, chairman of Interstate Batteries, and our batteries are just around the corner from you. Sold at over 200,000 retailers. Heck, we're in every county in the U.S. And that means it's easier than ever to own the Interstate Battery peace of mind. Because with one of ours, you'll hear this. Instead of this. Call 1-800-CRANK-IT or visit InterstateBatteries.com to find the dealer nearest you. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
Don't rent electricity, own it. Find out how with Independent Power Systems at the Lowry Community Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar Experts will show you how to make your own power with solar electric and get up to 50% off with rebates and incentives. Better yet, find out how to get free electricity for 1 year when you go solar for zero down and no payments for 12 months. Save up to an additional $1,500 when you install your solar system in 2010. Learn how Wednesday, December 9th at 7 p.m. at the Stanley British Primary School in Lowry. The XL Energy Solar Reward rebate is dropping at regular intervals, so act now to lock in the maximum rebate. Learn how with Independent Power Systems Wednesday, December 9th at 7 p.m. at the Stanley British Primary School in Lowry. Go to solarips.com/Lowry to RSVP today or call 303-443-0115. Independent Power Systems, an authorized distributor of Kyocera high-quality, high-performance solar electric systems and modules. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
Wasn't so smart.
One of the two tomatoes did, however, strike one of our police officers squarely in the face, actually.
Ooh, wow. Hey, you should have ducked. You should have followed what Sarah Palin did. Not such a good idea, friends, to show up at Sarah Palin rally and throw tomatoes in case you have any such idea. On the healthcare front yesterday, boy, things got a little heated here in Washington. Senator Harry Reid, who really wants to get that bill passed, he's holding, as we know, basically holding them hostage, the senators, until they do so, making them work on the weekends. And yesterday he said, let's remember that this is a historic moment and we've got to step up to the plate.
This is indeed historic, as I started my conversation with you today. And I'm not afraid to say it is. But instead of joining us on the right side of history, all Republicans can come up with is this. Slow down. Stop everything. Let's start over.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are. They're just obstructionists. They are against. I mean, John Thune yesterday said, our goal is we've got to figure out how to kill this bill. Well, Harry Reid said at every moment in history when we take a great step forward, have a chance to, there are those who stand in the way, just like those who once stood in the way of some very important legislation. This is the analogy that drove Republicans crazy.
When this country belatedly recognized the wrongs of slavery, there were those who dug in their heels and said, slow down. It's too early. Let's wait. Things aren't bad enough.
Yeah, oh, the Republicans. How dare he say that? Yeah, well, they've gone out and called the legislation about death. They said it amounts to death panels, right? Tom Coburn said yesterday that the message to seniors in this legislation was, you're going to die. John Cornyn yesterday compared this legislation to the Soviet Gulag. So all Harry Reid was doing was giving these Republicans a taste of their own medicine. And those who do stand in the way of health care today are the same, just like the ones who stood in the way of Social Security. They're just like the ones who stood in the way of Medicare and Medicaid. And yes, Harry Reid, you're right. They're just like the ones who stood in the way of anti-slavery legislation. If the shoe fits, wear it. I'll be back with a parting shot.
I still believe we can do great things, and that here and now we will meet history's test.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation.
Because that's who we are. That is our calling. That is our character.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
nightmare started after thieves broke into my car and took my purse and credit cards.
I'm Corey, a customer service agent at LifeLock, and that's Stephanie, another victim of identity theft.
Before I even knew it, the thieves had used my credit cards to buy several TVs. Then came the phone calls. Trying to fix this mess was devastating. It took me weeks. Nobody really cared very much. It was like, take a number.
As a LifeLock member, we know you by name, and not only do we help stop identity theft before it happens, if you become a victim of identity theft while a member of LifeLock because of a failure in our service, we will help you fix it up to $1 million. Restrictions apply. See LifeLock.com for details.
If only I had LifeLock then, but at $10 a month, you bet I have it now.
The call takes just minutes, and mention Secure for an additional 20% off. That's like 2 months free. Call 1-800-983-0552. That's 1-800-983-0552. 1-800-983-0552.
It's that time of year again. If you're wishing for a new front-load washer and dryer or a new stainless steel kitchen, I hope you'll spend some time with us this holiday season. Hi, I'm Brad Barnett, president of Mountain High Appliance in Louisville. From our humble beginnings in my garage in 1993, people say our success is because of our low prices. Some like the test drive kitchens. I know we carry more brands than any store in Colorado, but to me, the real value is my staff. Friendly, knowledgeable, and more experienced than you'll find at any big box store. Don't believe me? Visit our super showroom in Louisville and see what real old-fashioned service is all about. Our world-class installers will be at your home before you know it, and you'll experience what we call the Mountain High Difference. We're simply the best. Ask about our Thermador 1-2 free event. Save up to $6,000 on a new kitchen from Thermador. With two Thermador appliances, your third is free. Visit us weekdays till 8, Saturday and Sunday till 5, just north of Flatirons Mall in Louisville, or on the web at mountainhighappliance.com. Happy holidays. Thank you.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Cook. My name is... Hi, Mr. Taylor. I'm calling today. Mr. Hall, if I could just get a minute of your time.
Cold calling. If you're in sales or run a business, you know just how exhausting it can be to chase after new customers. But what if someone else could find them for you? Targeted leads based on your best customers. Now you can with Sales Genie, the leading provider of targeted sales leads. Tell us exactly who you want and we'll find them. To prove it, we'll help you find 100 new leads by industry, income, hobbies, whatever you're looking for, yours for free. So you can keep cold calling, or you can make the one call that will count.
Hi, Sales Genie. I'm calling about how to get 100 free leads.
Certainly. Let me get your name.
Call Sales Genie today to find out how to get 100 free targeted leads. 1-800-600-9721. That's 1-800-600-9721. 1-800-600-9721.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
The Parting Shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
And on this Tuesday, December 8th, my parting shot for today. Imagine for a moment that you're President Barack Obama. Healthcare reform with a strong public plan option is your number one priority, and you're close to achieving your goal. Your legislation has already passed the House, and a similar bill is pending on the floor of the U.S. Senate. So you go up to the Senate on a Sunday to meet with Senate Democrats. This is your best last chance to get what you want in a bill. Don't you think that you would tell them how essential the public plan option is? How this was something you really, really wanted in the final bill? Of course you would. But instead, President Obama went up there and said nothing about it. Nothing. Now, imagine for a moment that you're Senator Ben Nelson or Mary Landrieu or Blanche Lincoln. You're opposed to the public plan option, and you've been taking a lot of flack for it. So you listen to the president make his pitch, and he doesn't even mention the public plan option. Well, so what message do you take away from that? You can only conclude, if you're Ben Nelson or Mary Landrieu or Blanche Lincoln, you can only conclude, one, that Obama really doesn't care about the public option after all, and two, that he'll sign any health care bill, even one, yes, without a public plan option. I'm afraid that given President Obama's silence on this issue, looks to me like we can kiss the public plan option goodbye. If he's not going to fight for it, who is? That's my parting shot for today, folks. President Obama giving a speech on jobs today. We'll keep our eye on that and talk about it right here tomorrow.
This is the Bill Press Show.
In national news, the New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited number of classic U.S. silver coins. At the end of this broadcast, we'll provide a toll-free number you can call to receive free information and a free DVD. Millions of classic U.S. silver coins were damaged in circulation, and millions more were melted down during World War I for their precious silver content, leaving relatively few in existence. But a hoard of shining, brilliant, uncirculated silver coins, saved from destruction, were amassed and stored away in vaults. Today, in a startling announcement, the New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited quantity of these shimmering U.S. silver coins with a historical legacy beyond their silver value, available on a first-come, first-served basis by calling 1-800-400-1841. To receive the free collector's DVD, call now. The number again is 1-800-400-1841. That's 1-800-400-1841.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News. I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. President Obama will announce a new job creation plan that could be funded with some of that bailout money repaid by banks. Mr. Obama has already set the stage for the key jobs proposal that he'll announce this morning.
Additional investments in America's roads and bridges and railways and ports.
The president's also expected to call for new rebates for people who weatherize their homes, a so-called cash for caulking plan. Officials say he'll outline tax incentives and loan guarantees to boost small business hiring. I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House with CBS News. Here's Frank Settapani.
It's a snow day from California's High Sierra all the way to the Great Lakes. CBS News early show weatherman Dave Price is battling the elements in Flagstaff, Arizona. And the elements may be winning.
Whiteout conditions, treacherous conditions, and high winds. Flagstaff this morning with 20 inches of snow on the ground, a record for this state.
Overseas, ambulances have been rushing survivors of a series of almost simultaneous bombings to hospitals in different parts of Baghdad. Jane Araf is with the Christian Science Monitor.
They occurred almost instantaneously, and it was obviously a coordinated attack. We could hear the explosions where we were, and they were fairly large.
Iraqi officials expect a spike in attacks ahead of elections early next year. Less than 2 weeks after an ambulance rushed Tiger Woods to the hospital after a car crash, paramedics made another early morning run to Woods' home near Orlando. CBS's Peter King is live with the latest. What happened, Peter?
Well, Frank, emergency officials are only saying that rescue crews took a patient to the same hospital, a middle-aged blonde woman seen being taken from the ambulance, while another younger blonde was seen following in a black Escalade similar to the one Woods wrecked. We don't know who they are, but it's possible the older woman was Woods' mother-in-law, the younger one his wife, and there's a report the patient has been released. Frank?
More hospitals may have exposed patients to dangerous radiation levels. Live to CBS, Vicki Barker. What's the latest, Vicki?
The FDA is now investigating an Alabama hospital and a third Los Angeles facility, and unlike the earlier cases, which involved General Electric CT scanners, the LA machine was made by Toshiba, widening the potential area of investigation even further. The LA Times says more cases may turn up as hospitals nationwide obey yesterday's FDA order to review their radiation dosing guidelines. Still unknown whether the problem was caused by human error, machine malfunction, or both. Frank?
The execution of convicted killer Kenneth Byros, which would be the first to use a single drug, is scheduled to begin about an hour from now in Lucasville, Ohio. Reporter Greg Saber is on the scene.
A prison spokeswoman said there were palpable veins found, so apparently it is a go for this execution, precluding any last-minute stay of execution.
Ohio switched from the customary three-drug method after executioners could not find a usable vein in a man scheduled to die last fall. S&P futures are down 10 points. This is CBS News.
An important message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
It's that time of year again, Rose.
Yeah, Medicare open enrollment.
My son and I were talking about prescription drug plans. I compared my options, and I like what I have.
Now's the time to review your Medicare prescription drug and health plans. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
So how is little Billy?
Little Billy is 42.
Open enrollment ends December 31st, so visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Chevy is building cars and crossovers that are getting a lot of attention. In fact, even the critics are enthusiastic. See for yourself. Auto Week magazine says Traverse, quite simply, is one of the best vehicles, not just crossovers, on the road today. the 8-passenger 24 MPG highway Traverse. Just one of the critically acclaimed cars and crossovers from Chevy. Compare them to anyone, and may the best car win. Fuel economy based on EPA estimates.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Governor Ritter says he expects the state to take action to regulate medical marijuana. He says while voters approve medical pot, the recent explosion in the number of dispensaries has a lot of people concerned.
These dispensaries are not what was contemplated. They're operating as fairly sizable businesses. It's totally different than I think what the voters thought it would be.
Governor says there needs to be a way to stop doctors who prescribe marijuana to just anyone who walks through the door. But he also says he sees the need to provide a way for patients who really need it to be able to buy it legally. Governor Ritter is on Capitol Hill today. The governor testifies before a congressional committee about how ready young people are for college and careers. The committee is looking into proposals to establish core standards for college and career readiness. In sports, the Denver Nuggets spoiled Allen Iverson's homecoming in Philadelphia. The Nuggets beat the 76ers 93-83. The Avalanche snapped a losing streak with a shutout win over the St. Louis Blues last night. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where overnight snowfalls have left the metro highways wet, slushy, slick in spots, snow-packed in others. Southbound I-25 already slow from the approach to 120th all the way down to 36. Brakes loose for a little bit, then you'll tap your brakes coming up on I-70. Speeds through the downtown area still running in the 30 and 40 mile an hour range. However, southbound 225, we're seeing single-digit speeds after Parker Road up towards I-25 through that stretch. So that's going to cost you about 15 minutes of drive time. Same deal for northbounders on 2 1/4. You're coming around that Parker curve towards Iliff, all the way towards Colfax. Outside the metro, we've got an accident northbound I-25. This is north of E-470. Hopefully, they're going to have that one out of your way shortly. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a cold one today. High of only around 9 or 10 degrees. We'll get windy at times, making it feel a lot colder. Currently, it's 5. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Don't miss Kohl's cash in sale this Tuesday and Wednesday only from 7 a.m. till midnight. You'll get $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 you spend. It's like getting paid to shop. The more you know, the more you Kohl's. Kohl's. Expect great things.
The one thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
Always, you're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's another freezing cold day. The kind where your skin just hurts. It's so dry out there. It's so freezing.
Crunchy.
It's crunchy cold. Crunchy cold for sure. We have got a packed show for you today. I've been looking forward to today's show for couple days now. We're going to be joined at 7:20 by State Representative Chris Romer about his new proposal that he is just unveiling today to regulate medical marijuana dispensaries. We'll have all the details for you about that proposal with the bill sponsor at 7:20. Then at 8, we're going to be joined by sports writer and Nation columnist Dave Zirin, whose latest column insists that the Tiger Woods scandal is an important issue and particularly an important political issue. Dave Zirin is the award-winning author of a bunch of different books about the politics of sports. His website, edgeofsports.com. We'll check in with him at 8 o'clock. Then at 9, our weekly segment with Media Matters. And then at 9:20, our special guest is going to be Wired magazine writer Evan Ratliff, who has the cover story in Wired this month. It's a story about his effort to disappear off the face of the earth, to see if a person can disappear from their own life and start an entirely new life. He was the subject of a long-running contest whereby he disappeared, and Wired readers were asked to try to track him down in his new life.
They gave $5,000 to the person or people that found him.
That's right. That's right.
What a cool contest that is.
It was a really cool contest. What's freaky about it, about the article that he wrote, is how difficult it really is to get away from get any kind of privacy.
Yeah, kind of flipping through that article, like some of the places he went, like when he was in Las Vegas, and then I think Louisiana was, I think, where he finally got found.
Yep.
But, yeah, and like all of his different costumes that he wore to try to disguise himself.
The amount of,
pretty sweet.
The amount of things that people can find about you.
You can't disappear.
You can't disappear
anymore.
You
can find pretty much anybody you want out there.
You really, really...
I shouldn't say that as a radio producer, because, you know, if you want guests, there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to find them and
exactly.
get them on the show, right?
Exactly.
So I strike that from the record, Dave.
All right, Turk strikes that from the record. So we'll have Evan Ratliff on at 9:20. And a lot of news out there today. President Obama giving his speech on joblessness, pushing for some more jobless aid to deal with the economy. Yesterday he made headlines saying that unfortunately funds will be limited for job programs because of the deficit and because of the Afghanistan war. So yesterday President Obama acknowledging that we have a guns versus butter choice here in this country, and unfortunately he is choosing, when you look at the just the numbers, he is choosing guns, not butter, especially when you add the Afghanistan war costs and then you add up the costs of the Wall Street bailouts and all of that. And the amount of money that has gone to really just righting the economy is tiny. And I say that because you've got to take a look at the details of the numbers. The stimulus bill, if you'll remember, is about only 60% direct spending. So if the stimulus bill, back of the envelope estimate, if the stimulus bill was $800 billion, and let's say $450 billion of that, let's say $500 billion of that, was for something you could logically call job creation spending, because the other part of it was tax cuts, if you remember. That's $500 billion. Then you take the cost of the war, the Wall Street bailout, and you put those together, and you've got, somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.5 trillion to $2 trillion. So we have really spent a lot of money, but not a lot of money on righting the economy. Interested to see if President Obama changes that around today. Although, again, he had acknowledged himself that he says that we have limited funds now to do anything about the economy. And you know, I was driving home from work yesterday. You know, you see these things in your daily life that just make you realize how important all these issues really are. I was filling up my car with gas over on Monaco and Evans on the way home. And there was, remember, it was really cold yesterday. It was like 12 degrees out there. And there was a homeless veteran asking folks for money on the side of the road. And it was so cold out. I mean, really, it was freezing. And here's this guy asking folks driving by for money. And this is not a new thing in Denver. We've got a homeless problem here in Denver. But to see it in such full relief on such a cold day, and after we had just been talking on this show about how much we're spending on things like war, things like the financial bailout, and how really relatively little we're spending on our own economy, much less basic social services, the social safety net. Here in Colorado, we have been cutting to the bone social services for things like homelessness. And at the federal level, now we're being told we're going to only have limited funds to deal with that kind of social safety net spending. It really bummed me out. And it really pissed me off. It really made me very, very angry. And I know I've been a little bit angry of late, especially after this decision on the Afghanistan war to actually massively escalate the Afghanistan war. And the reason I'm angry just reminded me why I'm angry. I'm not angry at President Obama as a person in a personal way. I'm angry because we've got an economy that is, for many people, in a full-scale depression, and we've got a government that genuinely does not seem to care. And you start to wonder, what are we doing? And I don't mean we as a country. I mean we in our own individual lives. I mean, what have we become where we can have homeless veterans out on the streets of a city like Denver in 10-degree weather at a time when our government is spending trillions of dollars on Wall Street bankers and on wars 7,000 miles away? What have we become? One in four kids living off of food stamps, 50 million people without health insurance. And we're talking about a health care bill that in many ways just gives away more money to the health insurance companies. What have we become? How have we become so selfish and so feeling? We have no feelings anymore. It's like we've been completely desensitized to it.
Dave, can I make a brief observation about this? This always drives me crazy about is that, you know, they want to kind of help out the insurance CEOs, you know, the private insurance CEOs, and basically just tell, like, you know, like you said, there's this many homeless people. The number of young children that are homeless is increasing every month, but they don't want to help these people out. But yet these are the same people that vote with conservatives and, you know, claim to be Christians. It just doesn't seem very Christian-like to say, screw the homeless, screw, you know, what they call programs to help, you know, minorities and people that need it.
It's not very Christian, and I think you can't paint with too broad a brush. Not everybody but I hear what you're saying. There are a lot of folks out there, middle income folks, who justify voting for right wing conservatism on the grounds of the Christian ethic. And the thing is, when you look around our country today, we are not a very moral nation in the way we treat ourselves. And it's really, when I saw this, just this one moment, you know, and again, I've seen the homelessness around Denver. I'm not stupid. It's not like I haven't seen it before, but you know, every now and then you sort of have a moment. And I saw it and I'm like, God, you know, what are we doing? And it kind of made me feel good about the fact that we here on AM 760 Progressive Talk have been talking about a lot of these issues and that we try to keep it real here on this show, but it also just bummed me out. And, you know, we've got a piece posted on our website now. I just posted it this morning, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. There's a piece by progressive author Chris Hedges called Liberals Are Useless. Now, I don't necessarily disagree. Excuse me, I don't necessarily agree with everything that Chris Hedges says in here. But it asks some very tough questions about what we progressives are willing to do and not do, what we're about and what we're not about. Check it out, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. It's a really, really powerful piece by Chris Hedges, the progressive author and writer. He's writing as a progressive about fellow liberals, and you should really check it out. It's really the must-read of the day. Later on in the broadcast, I'm going to give you a tip. Everybody always asks, well, what can we do? What can we do right now? Well, there's a lot of things you can do in your own community, but later on in the show, after we talk to Chris Romer, I'm going to give you one action item that you can do, and it deals with Senator Michael Bennett, who's been on this show. He has got an absolutely huge vote coming up that has gotten very little attention. You'll get a hint about it if you go over to our website, am760.net, click over to the David Sirota page, and then click onto my blog. There's a link up there for my blog. My blog post today will give you a little hint about what I'm talking about. I'll fill you in later on after we talk to Chris Romer about what you can do to really move our senator on a very, very big vote, a very, very big vote that deals with all of these issues, especially with the economic issues that I've been talking about in this first couple minutes here. 717 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, we're going to check in with State Senator. He used to be a representative, I think. State Senator Chris Romer, about his proposal to regulate medical marijuana dispensaries in Colorado. It's making big news. Stick around for that after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Highways are really filling up for us. Also seeing slow speeds around town. We don't see very many accidents, which is a good thing. Yesterday, a lot more brutal this time of the morning. But slow speeds mostly on I-25 southbound side, 120th all the way down to US 36 in Aurora, northbound and southbound. northbound 225 full at Parker Road. Northbounders from Iliff to Colfax. Southbounders from about Mississippi down to 25. Got an accident northbound I-25 just north of E-470 up on the north end in Adams County. Icy and snow packed in spots around town. All the way down to the New Mexico state line on I-25. Same deal heading north into the Wyoming Fort Collins area. The forecast today, cloudy and cold, lasting till late this afternoon. The snow will anyway. Lighter than we thought, though. Just about 1 to 3 inches in Denver, 2 to 5 to the west, south, and north of the metro. Look for a high of 8 degrees. Currently, we're at 6 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
What? Surround her with the strength of your love with the Love's Embrace Collection, now with Jared.
That's Jared!
Jared is proud to present the new Love's Embrace Collection, diamonds in a design created to capture the comfort found in each other's arms. This holiday, there is surely no more romantic gift. Available as necklaces, rings, or earrings, starting at just $79.99. At Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Inside this truck are some very special batteries, because these batteries are going to the Mattel Children's Hospital, UCLA, where they know that making kids better takes all kinds of technologically advanced equipment, and quite a few Hot Wheels and Barbies and Polly Pockets. So to power all those toys, the people at Duracell pack that truck full of batteries, because they know nothing's better than powering a smile. Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
Save money with Bargain Watch at AM760.net. This week, get a $30 Brothers Barbecue certificate for only $15. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town. Brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at AM760.net.
Call 888-352-7680. That's 888-352-7680. 888-352-7680.
Life Care Center of Littleton reminds everyone that the holidays are a perfect time to show your support and appreciation for the seniors in our community. You can visit nursing homes, help with holiday preparations, or just lend a listening ear. After a lifetime of their care and affection, the greatest gifts we can give in return are respect, understanding, time, and attention. This is from Life Care Center of Littleton. For rehabilitation or volunteer opportunities, call 303-795-7300 for Life Care Center of Littleton.
Interstate Batteries. Cold winter weather can really strain a car battery. Be safe. Have yours tested at one of the Interstate Batteries' 200,000 dealers nationwide. There's one in every county in the U.S. Find your closest dealer at interstatebatteries.com.
Sarah Palin was supposed to be in a 5K race, and she did show up, but like halfway through the race, she quit. She dropped out. Now, does this woman finish anything she starts? Has anybody read her book? Because I'm dying to know. Does it end in mid-sentence? Now, if Palin gets a talk show host, she's going to quit like before the first show is over. She'll quit in the middle of the pilot. And if she runs in 2012, she'll quit before the primary is over. Unbelievable.
The Randy Rhoads Show, weeknights at 7 on AM 760, Colorado. Progressive Talk.
Legalize. 722 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Very, very cold morning again. I have it at, 5 degrees out there right now, going up to about 13 degrees today. On the line with us, State Senator Chris Roemer. He has unveiled a plan to regulate medical marijuana dispensaries in Colorado. We had Senator Roemer on a couple weeks ago when he first floated this idea. A lot of talk about the burgeoning medical marijuana industry in the state. Senator Roemer, just spell out for us the broad strokes of what your legislation proposes.
Sure, David. Good morning. What I do is basically bring the medical marijuana conversation back into a medical model where, in essence, patients who have cancer and any other form of debilitating disease can get medical marijuana through clinics, otherwise known currently as dispensaries, or they can also get it from a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, or a registered nurse. And so the broad stroke of this is we're still going to have a model where we're going to license growers. I truly believe that we're going to cut the cost of medical marijuana in half. Right now, it's outrageously high for the patients who really need it. But we're also going to have it administered by people who really understand the debilitating illnesses that they're treating, and we're going to make damn sure there are no pesticides and it's grown in Colorado. That's the deal.
Now, you have said, I'm reading here from 9news.com, the kids who want to use it recreationally do not belong in the medical system. And we've got Brian Vicente from Sensible Colorado saying that Senator Romer is ignoring the fact that people under 21 do get sick. And if they do, their doctor should have the right and ability to prescribe medical marijuana. So let's clear up any question here. If somebody is under 21 and a doctor prescribes them medical marijuana, would they be allowed to get medical marijuana? In other words, is there an age restriction inside of your bill?
David, what my bill does is says that under the age of 21, if you have a debilitating illness, the prescription will be written. You will take it to the clinic. The clinic will send that prescription up to the medical review board, and in very short order, you will get approval to have medical marijuana. But if you basically are what we've been told, that there are a number of people who have gone in to get medical marijuana cards with an earache, and you have no pre-existing condition, and you're under the age of 21, no, you're not going to get a medical marijuana card.
I wonder, I mean, and this goes to the broader question that some people have been asking, which is, are you, and we just heard Governor Ritter at the top of the national news and local news saying some of the same things, are the folks who want to regulate medical marijuana, are you treating a problem that does not exist? In other words, what problems are you addressing that are compelling enough to introduce legislation like this? Who are you hearing from saying that we need to address a problem?
Well, David, first and foremost, this will be the first bill in the country that actually legitimizes the medical marijuana process in a way in which I think adds to the conversation. And I'm not ready to vote to legalize marijuana, but I think those who want marijuana legalized need to have a thoughtful conversation about how you get the soccer moms in the suburbs to understand that their teenage kids and their kids in middle school aren't going to basically lose the kind of on-the-ball attitude that they need to be successful in life. That's a real issue in this conversation. When they drive down Broadway and they see the signs for Dr. Reefer's clinic, I think they're very concerned what's going to happen here.
Do you think they're similarly concerned when they drive down South Broadway, let's say, and see a bunch of bars?
No, I don't think that, because I think it's been much more accepted, and that's a very robust and healthy debate. But remember what we voted on in 2000 was medical marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, the group who's looked at this bill agrees with about 80% of my bill. They do not agree. Citizens for Regulating Medical Marijuana do not agree with the second review panel for those under the age of 21. The rest of the bill, they understand what I'm doing is actually bringing something out of the shadows for the first time in this nation. It's going to bring it into a legitimate medical marijuana community.
So you see this bill, if I get you right, you see your bill not just as a way to regulate medical marijuana, but to actually legitimize medical marijuana under state law.
Absolutely. It'll be the first time in the country that doctors and medical professionals as well as law enforcement are all going to agree this is here to stay. We're going to be the first state in the nation to license growers and know exactly where they are. We're going to check the quality of the medical marijuana. We're going to get it out of the black market into the medical marijuana community. When we do that well, the people who want to legalize it are going to have a much better shot get that vote done when we prove that this is not reefer madness, and this is actually a medicinal product for some people who really need it. Now, there are other people who want to just use it recreationally. That's a separate debate, and you got to segment those debates. You know, law enforcement, who's done 30 years on the war on drugs, but it's an absolute failure, is horrified by the notion of having physical clinics and locations. I'm trying to help bring them with us to say this is here to stay, and we need to legitimize the medical marijuana community. After we legitimize medical marijuana, then we need to have a full-on conversation about legalizing it or not.
State Senator Chris Romer, again, he is introducing a bill to regulate medical marijuana dispensaries here in Colorado, making big news today. My last question for you. When you travel around and you talk to people, you talk to your constituents, and you talk to people across the city and the state, do you sense a different or an evolving attitude about marijuana, or do you sense that the two sides of this debate are digging in and it's becoming more polarized.
No. I think people are moving. For the law enforcement community to tell me for the first time they're ready to have licensed growers in the state of Colorado, I think it's huge movement on this issue. That said, I think people want a regulated process, and I think people see a little bit in these dispensaries a whiff of greed. And what I'm focused on is the patients. I'm focused on the people who want medical marijuana to treat cancer and HIV. I'm not into the gold rush. So I've been telling people nationally, don't move to Colorado. This is not Cripple Creek in the 1890s. We're going to do this right, and we're going to do it in clinics.
State Senator Chris Romer, we will keep on top of what you're doing. Please keep us posted on your bill, and thanks for taking the time this morning.
Sure, absolutely, David. Love your show.
Talk to you soon. 729 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. So that, again, was State Senator Chris Romer. He is making headlines this morning. He is the first state legislator to put out a draft bill proposal to regulate medical marijuana. After the break...
What do you think of that proposal, Dave, in a nutshell?
You know, I have to see the details of it. I think he makes some very good points
It does seem like Cripple Creek in the 1860s. I mean, it does kind of seem, you know, and I'm pro-medical marijuana legislation, but it does seem a little bit out of control with 600 applicants a day and making sure that the people that, you know... Are using it for medical purposes?
It definitely is right now the Wild West, and that we are in a legal gray area. And, you know, I share the concerns of folks who want to have a more sensible drug policy. I share the concerns that regulation could squelch the move to a more sensible drug policy. But I also think Chris Romer is making a good point that if and when this industry is properly regulated, it will help legitimize this industry. The question is whether his bill does the legitimizing or whether it does the squelching. It sounds to me, again, I have to look into the details of it. It sounds to me like he is motivated by the right cause, that he is not trying to stealthily crush medical marijuana here, like, for instance, Attorney General John Southers.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I mean,
no, I think Senator Romer's mind and heart is in the right place on this one.
I think that's right. I think that's right. The one thing that disturbed me a little bit about what he said was, you know, we have to convince the soccer moms in the suburbs about this. And the only thing that disturbs me about this, he's not necessarily wrong, but he and the other political leaders in this state, you know, that's part of their responsibility, too.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're political leaders, and the state looks to them in part for cues on what is the right way forward. So it's not just like, hey, you know, everybody else has got to go out and convince the soccer moms. It's kind of like, well, Senator Romer, you and your colleagues also have to do that as well. We will discuss this issue after the break. Do you think the move to regulate medical marijuana in state, as announced today by State Senator Chris Romer, is a move to legitimize medical marijuana or crush the medical marijuana industry? 303-713-7600. After the break, we'll get to your calls. Also, I'm going to fill you in on a couple of local news stories here. Speaking of the drug debate, Colorado drunk driving increases, one of only seven states where drunk driving has increased. So you want to talk about the problem of drugs, how about alcohol and what it's doing to our society? That and more in our local news update, and then we'll get to a discussion about medical marijuana after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. It's going to be a slow-going commute for you. Conditions not as bad as they were on Monday, but still really slow-going. Stop and go, usual spots, but the southbound side of 25 really full from about 120th down to the Boulder Turnpike. Northbounders struggling from 225 up to Evans. That's where we have a new crash in the left-hand shoulder. More jams from Downing Street up past 6th Avenue, speeds in the teens there. Also super heavy coming eastbound on 6th Avenue, Wadsworth down to Lowell. And in Aurora, northbound and southbound, 225, full from Parker Road to Colfax for you northbounders, southbounders, Parker Road 25. Also got a single vehicle accident, ramp from northbound 2 1/4 to Iliff, one on the it's on the northbound side of I-25, north of E-470 in Adams County. Forecast today, snow will be lighter than we first thought, 1 to 3 inches. It's going to be cold, though, high around 8 degrees. Right now, 5 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Today, AM 760 is brought to you by Cotman Transmission.
Get the good! give the holiday gift that keeps on fixing. The 7-piece gear wrench ratcheting wrench set available at your local Napa Auto Parts store for just $29.99, a savings of 70%. These versatile combination wrenches work in tight spaces while offering the speed of a ratchet. 7-piece gear wrench ratcheting wrench sets are available in SAE or metric sizes. Now for just $29.99 at Napa. Napa. Get the good
stuff! Kevin Richards just sent his identity out shopping.
Hello? Hey, Kev. It's me, your identity.
Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah. The retailer is sending the stuff.
Good. What? Did you talk to strangers?
No. But I met a nice group of guys from Russia.
Oh, you didn't tell them anything, did you?
No. Yes, I did.
What?
Everything.
Oh, I'm gonna...
Wondering where your identity goes? Get Identity Guard Total Protection. Total Protection scans activity regarding your identity, keeping you in the know 24/7. And if anything happens, Identity Guard's $1 million of loss reimbursement insurance and professional response team will help make things right. It's protection no matter where your identity goes. Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again.
Wait a second, Kev. What's that, Yuri? Yuri would like to come visit.
No, Yuri!
Visit IdentityGuard.com today. That's IdentityGuard.com.
Improve the health of your hair with Ovation Cell Therapy. Log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special introductory discount. That's OvationHair.com. And remember to enter AM760 for your special discount. OvationHair.com.
Ovation is so good, it's guaranteed.
Hey, I'm William Sumner, renowned business coach. If you have ever considered network marketing, you need to listen to me now. I have been challenged by a company to coach 12 candidates to a $5,000 per month income stream within 90 days. I've accepted. If you accept, you'll receive free coaching from me for 6 months designed to accelerate you in ways that only business superstars can. You'll discover that such abilities reside in all of us, waiting to be tapped. Success is a recipe. It's not based on talent, skills, or resources. When you learn resourcefulness in your business model from me, you can create and overcome any obstacles. I'm convinced. Are you? Call me now to apply for this trial. 303-904-0077 or sign up at my website, williamsumner.net. That's williamsumner.net. Call me now to apply for this trial. 303-904-0077 or sign up at my website, williamsumner.net.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit matrixdirect.com.
Do you think you're getting your money's worth for your life insurance policy? Because if you're 40 and married and are paying more than $14 a month, chances are you're paying too much. Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. And if you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free no-obligation quote. Call 1-800-500-2609. Since 1995, Matrix Direct has helped over 1 million people save money on their term life insurance. Don't you want to know how much we could save you? It only takes 5 minutes, and you could save up to 75%, and the call is absolutely free. Call Matrix Direct, 1-800-500-2609. That's 1-800-500-2609. 1-800-500-2609.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. That music is perfect for a day like today. Just kind of captures the mood. It's so cold and gray out there. It's going to be cold. It's going to be gray.
It's going to be dark. Don't come to David for sunshine.
And it's going to last you the rest of your life. It's one of my favorite lines from Groundhog Day. A lot of local news here, and we're going to get to your calls about the effort to regulate medical marijuana. We just had on State Senator Chris Roemer making headlines throughout the state today about a proposal to regulate medical marijuana. And we talked a little bit about the overall drug debate in this state. A couple pieces of news on that issue here in state. Drunken driving fatality rates have fallen in 40 states in the District of Columbia. However, Colorado is one of 7 states where drunk driving fatalities increase. So you want to talk about a real drug debate. Because alcohol is a drug. And we've had on Mason DeVert of Colorado Safer. We've had on various other experts about which is more of a health hazard, alcohol or marijuana. Here's some more evidence about how alcohol is a serious, serious hazard that rarely gets mentioned in the drug debate. You heard Chris Romer say, you know, the public seemed a lot more comfortable with the prevalence, let's say, of bars than with the prevalence of medical marijuana dispensaries. And then you start asking why when you read a story like this where drunk driving fatalities are up in state. This piece of news from CBS4, authorities say an out-of-control 10-year-old child was shocked with a taser and arrested in Pueblo. He remained in jail Thursday night. They tasered a 10-year-old child down in Pueblo. Unbelievable. That is really unbelievable. I don't want to fully prejudge it, but there better have been compelling circumstances to taser a 10-year-old. Now, the story does allude to the fact that the boy was booked into the Pueblo Youth Center on suspicion of menacing with a deadly weapon. Not exactly sure what that means, but boy, that is a crazy, crazy story. Some political news. Scott McGinnis mulling supporting those extreme right-wing anti-tax ballot initiatives in state. Remember the contest, folks. The challenge is out there. Scott McGinnis last week said that he is the head of the Colorado Tea Party movement. That's right. Colorado's King Teabag. If you hear Scott McGinnis on a radio interview, and I'll even add to throw this out here, if you see him on a TV interview, and you can, to his face, refer to him, it's got to be to his face, or, you know, on the phone on a radio interview, if you can refer to him, to his face, as King Teabag, or Captain Teabag, you will win a free signed copy of my book, The Uprising. And you have to just send us the clip, the audio clip or the video clip. Send us the clip at am760.net, and you will win a free book.
And we're also going to throw in a family four-pack.
That's right.
See the Genghis Khan exhibit out at the museum.
So the challenge is out there. If you can refer to Scott McGinnis as King or Captain Teabag, the first person to do that wins a free book and a four-pack to the Genghis Khan exhibit. And I'll even broaden it out this way. If you are at an event and you have a video camera and you can capture on video you or your friend introducing yourself to Scott McGinnis and referring to him as Captain or King Teabag, you can win the contest. McGinnis now digging in, maybe supporting those Tea Party ballot initiatives. And we'll get to the phones now. 303-713-7600. What do you think about the proposal now to regulate medical marijuana? Do you think State Senator Chris Romer's proposal to create an advisory board is an effort to legitimize the medical marijuana industry or to crush the medical marijuana industry in state? 303-713-7600. Oh, and before we get to the phones, check our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. We've posted an article that I want everybody to read. It's the must read of the day. Chris Hedges, the great former New York Times writer, the big progressive author, has a must read article saying, the headline is, "Liberals are useless." I don't necessarily agree with him fully on what he's saying, but it's definitely the must read of the day. You got to read it. So check over our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Now we'll go to the phones. Greg in Denver. Greg, you're on am760.
Hey, this is Greg. How's it going?
All right, man. How you doing?
Good. All right. I'll just identify myself to the people that I'm kind of in the industry and was in it fairly early. And there's a couple things that are going on that I definitely agree. I think that they need to lay off the patients and concentrate specifically on the dispensaries. And then they need to make sure that the doctors feel comfortable and that this is a legitimate medicinal, because many doctors who work for hospitals and such will not do this because it's too much risk, and that their partnership or their hospital will not allow them to do that, no matter whether they believe it or not. That's the big problem. And the second problem is, and he hit it, I'm not sure if the way to do it is what he said, but there's not enough growers for the number of dispensaries, so they're bringing in product from out of state, which is illegal.
Yeah, now I want people to understand the details of what Chris Romer is proposing. Nine News reports that Romer wants to create a medical marijuana licensing authority, which grants, refuses, and renews licenses for dispensaries. He also wants to create an advisory board, a second advisory board, which would have to grant, effectively, as I understand it, approval for a medical marijuana card, a medical marijuana prescription for people under 21. Romer's saying that people are concerned that medical marijuana is being used recreationally by young people. And you know, the question is, Greg, if you're in the industry, when you hear a proposal like that, do you hear a proposal that is trying to legitimize and bring out of the shadows Colorado's medical marijuana industry, or do you hear a proposal that is trying to crack down on and potentially crush Colorado's medical marijuana industry?
I don't think they don't want to potentially crush it, but they want to completely regulate it. And I agree to a certain point they need to regulate it. And the problem is that he said that they're going to check the quality. Are they going to have the weed police going to go around to the growers and say, oh, this is good, this is bad, throw this batch away? I mean, that's ridiculous. You can't do that. And their technology is not there to scientifically test it without extreme expense to either the state or the grower. So I think that they're trying. They need to get away from getting in between the patient and the doctor, and having a board is going to second-guess the doctor. And I can't believe that they're bringing that up, because that's like they're so anti getting between the doctor. No one brought that up. It's the doctor's choice. Yeah, there's some doctors that will just write it because they really believe that everybody should have access to it. You know, that happens. But there is some doctors that really want to say, hey, you can try this to alleviate your issues. We have a guy at work that had cancer, and that was the only way that he was able to keep any weight on. The guy weighed like 260 pounds.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. And I'm gonna do based on what you've mentioned here. I'm gonna see if we can get my brother on. My brother is a physician at some hospitals around here, including the public hospital in Denver. I'm curious to see what he, as just a typical doctor, is hearing on that score. Whether doctors really are nervous about prescribing a medical marijuana in when we have such a legal gray area.
First of all, it's not a prescription. It's a recommendation. Don't ever say prescription. And second of all, the law, the Constitution, the way it was written was very vague, and the plan was to go ahead and fight it out in court on the details. But they've got to control the bringing in of product from out of state and people in Colorado, and it really upsets me that people are coming in from out of state in the gold rush and then bringing product in from other places instead of finding legitimate sources within the state that actually care about the people that require it.
Yeah, well, we discussed this earlier about how the people who are most afraid, for instance, of Mexican drug cartels, and rightly so. Mexican drug cartels are a criminal enterprise, often funding all sorts of violence down in Mexico and even across the border. We talked about earlier, maybe 2 months ago, about how if you really want to start dealing with Mexican drug cartels, you got to do a better job of allowing the legal growth of marijuana in the United States. And I guess for folks here in Colorado. Hey, Greg, thanks for the call. Great call. Alan in Westminster. Alan, you're on AM 760.
All right. Greg's got it down. He's very informed. I've been involved in this. I was on the steps with Ken Gorman back in the days when we got the law enacted in the first place. And I'm a caregiver. I take care of people in their homes. And the way that the state comes forward with that you have to provide significant care for a person, this has to be paid for, too. So that's adding another layer of cost into the process. There has to be some sort of way to be able to register yourself to your patients so that you can bill agencies or bill the state for providing these services to them. Another thing I want to speak to is the Mexican drug cartels growing marijuana up in the forest. We have a significant beetle kill problem up there in all the trees. If we were to plant industrial hemp and the beetle kill up in the forests. And then the industrial hemp has got zero THC, which makes it absolutely valueless to for medical purposes. If there was industrial hemp growing in all these vast areas of forests that are dead right now from the beetles, the pollen from the industrial hemp would inundate the forest and pollinate the illegal grows and ruin them so that they would be worthless. Nobody would be willing to pay for it. Most of the people that are involved in the industry right now don't want anything to do with marijuana that's grown outside anyway. Mm-hmm. They like the stuff that is grown very professionally and adequately. And
yeah, that's fascinating. And you know, I think that's there's something to that. The idea that folks who are in the medical marijuana industry, I want to be clear, are not looking for illicit sources of marijuana, and that again speaks to the idea that we have to do a better job of allowing legal growth here in the state. Hey, Alan, thanks for the call. Let's go to Debbie in Westminster. Debbie, you're on AM 760.
Hi.
Hey there.
You mentioned earlier about the death fatalities.
Yes.
With alcohol.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have a question: is are we up overall? I don't even know the answer to this, but. Do we have more fatalities in general than other states, number one? What are we comparing it to?
That I don't know. What I can tell you is, and I'll just give you the stats here, drunk driving fatality rates have fallen in 40 states and the District of Columbia. The Transportation Department said Monday that 11,773 people were killed in drunken driving crashes in 2008 for a rate of 0.4 per 100 million vehicle miles traveled. In 2007, 13,000 motorists were killed. Vermont, Wisconsin, Maine, Nebraska, Minnesota, Connecticut, South Dakota, Arizona, and the District of Columbia saw fatality rates involving alcohol-linked crashes decline by 20%. The rates were virtually unchanged in three states, Delaware, Florida, and Pennsylvania, and the rates increased in seven states, including Colorado. That's the numbers I have in front of us. So this story is about how the rate of drunk driving accidents is increasing here in Colorado.
Yeah, and that's really sad. I wonder if our overall rates of fatalities are increasing.
Yeah, I can try to double check that. I will. And I just think it speaks to this idea that if we're going to have a debate about drugs and the societal impact of drugs, we've got to have, you know, let's have that debate. Let's have that debate about all drugs. And, you know, this I have somewhat of a problem that the debate has been so limited just to marijuana. And I will try to get those numbers for you, Debbie. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
7:50 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, we'll take a couple more of your calls, and I will fill you in on guess what? I know you won't be shocked to hear this, but guess what? Colorado Republicans are out there not wanting to acknowledge that greenhouse gas emissions and global climate change are any kind of problem. I'll fill you in on that after a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, you can imagine it's a pretty brutal drive out there for most folks. I-25, full from Castle Rock up to North Glen. Looks like both sides of the highway moving along pretty slowly. Stop and go in the usual spot. Southbound side of 25, super heavy. 136 now all the way down to Thornton Parkway. Again, from 58th past Spear. Northbound side, we do have a couple of accidents. One on the left shoulder at Evans. Another one just further north at Downing. Also got an accident. Single vehicle on the ramp from northbound 225 to Isle of in Aurora. 225 is going to be really busy for folks heading northbound Park Road to Colfax, southbound from Colfax all the way past Isle of, and then from Yosemite to the 25 merge. Forecast, cloudy and cold with snow lasting till late this afternoon. Lighter than we first thought, though. Now they're saying about 1 to 3 inches around Denver, 2 to 5 to the west, north and south of the metro. Look for a high around 8, currently 6 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
With five times the selection, Jared is where to go for diamond jewelry this holiday.
That's Jared!
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, has literally hundreds of diamond bracelets, earrings, necklaces, and rings to choose from. Diamond solitaire earrings are always a great choice. At Jared, their extensive selection is priced from under $80 to $5,300 and includes their certified colorless diamonds.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Don't rent electricity, own it. Find out how with Independent Power Systems at the Lowry Community Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar Experts will show you how to make your own power with solar electric and get up to 50% off with rebates and incentives. Better yet, find out how to get free electricity for 1 year when you go solar for zero down and no payments for 12 months. Save up to an additional $1,500 when you install your solar system in 2010. Learn how Wednesday, December 9th at 7 p.m. at the Stanley British Primary School in Lowry. The XL Energy Solar Rewards rebate is dropping at regular intervals, so act now to lock in the maximum rebate. Learn how with Independent Power Systems Wednesday, December 9th at 7 p.m. at the Stanley British Primary School in Lowry. Go to solarips.com/Lowry to RSVP today or call 303-443-0115. Independent Power Systems, an authorized distributor of Kyocera high-quality, high-performance solar electric systems and modules. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field Solar Experts.
There, cool jacket.
Oh, thanks. My wife got it for me at REI. Perfect gift for days like this.
No kidding. Crisp winter air, lots of fresh snow, the sun is shining. Does it get any better than this?
Let's think about that for a minute. This is pretty much the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out. Guarantee your holiday happiness by giving great gifts from REI. Hurry into your local REI store or shop REI.com. REI. Find out.
Mullen, one of our fine advisors here, is going to answer calls about how we do what we do. So if you'd like to call us, give us a call today.
303-694-1600. 303-694-1600. You need a strategy in these up and down times, especially, as I keep saying in this last couple of weeks, especially as the end of the year comes. A lot of 401k things you can do right now. So give the team at Presidential a call, 303-694-1600. Stay warm out there, Mike.
I'll do my best. Thanks, David.
I'll pay you to read this book. The truth is, this book is so essential to surviving in this insane economy, I'll give you an early $1,900 silver dollar free just for ordering this book. Hi, I'm Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metals investing firms. So why would Midas give you a free collectible silver dollar for ordering this book? Because you need to know the truth about surviving in this economy. With trillions of your tax dollars being handed out like bailout candy, you know this will impact your wallet today, tomorrow, and at retirement. This book explains it all. In fact, Congressman Ron Paul said this book is what every American needs to know. So while others are trying to survive this economic meltdown, learn how to flourish. Order your book right now, and Midas Resources will send you an early 1900s collectible silver dollar free. Call 888-600-MIDAS. 888-600-MIDAS. That's 888-600-MIDAS. Again, that's 888-600-MIDAS.
Announcing the Ally Bank Online Savings Account with a rate that's among the most competitive in the country. If you're waiting for the terms and conditions, forget about it. It really is that straightforward. Nothing confusing, hazy, ambiguous, dubious, or dodgy. No double dealing, double speak, or double meanings. Just an online savings account with a great rate. Compare rates for yourself at allybank.com or call Ally at 877-247-ALLY. Ally. Straightforward. Member FDIC.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Mike Kaufman, Congressman Mike Kaufman, out in the news today. He is basically saying he doesn't want to believe that there really is global climate change. Can't say I'm surprised about that. This is in reaction to the EPA saying that greenhouse gases endanger the public's health and welfare. Kaufman said is attacking the announcement is supposedly paving the way for a national energy tax. Can't say I'm surprised by Kaufman. I want to implore everybody, give Michael Bennett's office a call right now, today, 303-455-7600. He is one of the senators who's going to have a key vote on whether to reappoint Ben Bernanke to the Federal Reserve chairmanship, one of the most important economic positions in the country. He came on our show, said he's probably going to vote yes, but he's open to maybe not voting yes. And if you care about the economy, we need to get him to vote no. There is a move afoot to stop Bernanke's nomination. And I think if it's stopped, it could seriously change the economic policy we are seeing. So give Bennett's office a call, 303-455-7600. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Bill in Arvada. Bill, you got about 30 seconds. Fire away.
Hey, David. Couple of things. I'm concerned that with what Senator Romer was saying, if the doctors get involved, is their judgment going to override my ability to say, hey, this is what I want for treatment? For example, my cancer is serious enough that on YouTube there's a Rick Simpson story that tells about oil and there could be a cure, but if the doctors don't believe in it, are they going to negate my ability to have 30 plants to be able to make the oil? You know, that's where I'm concerned. The other thing is, real quickly, I'm on SSI, so I need to grow my own. Is he going to interfere with that?
Right, and I think this question about who is making the medical decisions, the state board or physicians, is really, really absolutely key here. And I think as progressives, and by the way, libertarians out there as well, can say, hey, the key thing we have to preserve here on any drugs, because physicians can prescribe things that are even stronger than marijuana, is the doctor-patient relationship. Great point, Bill. Thanks for the call. Stay healthy. 7:58 here on AM 760. Stick around after the break. Sports writer Dave Zirin on why we should care about the Tiger Woods scandal.
Attention, fellow Colorado residents. This is an important consumer alert.
The National Law Institute is a group of consumer lawyers and fellow Coloradans committed to helping you understand your legal rights and protecting you from credit card companies. Are you struggling with credit card debt? How different would your holidays be this year without credit card payments? Wasting time and money with debt settlement scams or filing bankruptcy are not your only options. The National Law Institute can help give you a fresh start. And you don't pay them a dime in upfront fees. In these challenging times, credit card companies are more willing than ever to forgive your debt for a fraction of what you owe. Call the National Law Institute now at 877-DEBT-313 to learn how to qualify so you and your family can enjoy the holiday season in peace. Call 877-DEBT-313 today to schedule a free consultation with one of their attorneys. That's 877-DEBT-313, or visit them online at thenationallawinstitute.com.
Progressive Talk, KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. The state of Ohio is scheduled to put convicted killer Kenneth Byros to death minutes from now with a new kind of lethal injection. It uses one drug, a sedative, instead of the usual combination of three. The new method should take longer, but it's supposed to be painless. Fordham University law professor Deborah Denno is skeptical.
Nobody's used this method of execution ever, and on anyone, anywhere. So it's a complete unknown how this is going to work.
Reporter Greg Saber is at the prison in Lucasville.
Ohio's decided on the single drug execution method because in September it took an execution team some 2 hours or more on another inmate to attempt to find a vein, and that execution had to be halted because they just couldn't find one.
If that happens again, they'll inject the drug into a muscle. An hour from now, President Obama will spell out a new plan to put Americans back to work. CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer.
The plan will include tax incentives and loan guarantees to encourage hiring and billions of dollars in additional federal funding to repair roads and other projects. The president's labor and Democratic Party allies like that idea. Republicans, though, oppose any massive job creation plan.
The president wants to pay for the program with surplus financial rescue funds. Republicans say that money should be used to cut the federal deficit. Republicans want Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid to apologize for comparing critics of health care reform to people who fought against ending slavery. Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele, who is black, told the CBS News Early Show,
"It was an ignorant comment. Harry needs to go to the well of the Senate, take it back, and apologize for offending the sensibilities of the American people on something so important."
A spokesman for Reid calls Steele's outrage feigned. From California's High Sierra to some parts of the Great Lakes, drivers are breaking out the snow chains to negotiate slippery roads covered by a thick blanket of snow. CBS News Early Show weatherman Dave Price fought the snow on a drive from Sedona, Arizona to Flagstaff.
The last 25 miles took almost 2 hours to drive. Why? Whiteout conditions, treacherous conditions, and high winds.
In Baghdad, at least 118 people have been killed in a series of almost simultaneous car bombings. Hundreds more were wounded. Jane Araff of the Christian Science Monitor says one bomb leveled a courthouse.
The force was so great that it threw pieces of the vehicle up onto the roof of the building,
and essentially collapse the building.
A New York Times analysis shows that one out of every five public water treatment systems around the country have violated federal safety standards for arsenic and other toxic chemicals. Author Gerard Coppell says many systems just aren't keeping up.
When that maintenance isn't done, and when problems aren't corrected, then people get sick or possibly worse.
In early Wall Street trading, the Dow Industrials are down 109 points. This is CBS News.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Increase employee productivity and stop malware threats.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Web Filter is an integrated hardware and software solution that enforces internet usage policies by blocking access to websites and internet applications that are not business related. The Barracuda Web Filter is the easiest way to get your staff back to work while preventing harmful malware from entering your network. Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM or visit Barracuda.com.
An important message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
It's that time of year again, Rose.
Yeah, Medicare open enrollment.
My son and I were talking about prescription drug plans. I compared my options, and I like what I have.
Now is the time to review your Medicare prescription drug and health plans. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
So how is little Billy?
Little Billy is 42.
Open enrollment ends December 31st, so visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Get ready for the next wave. The snow is falling again in the metro area, and it's about to get heavier. Folks at CDOT are ready. Their truck spent the night laying down de-icer.
When a well-predicted storm like this comes around, it really gives us an advantage to get the resources to where they need to be. Right now, the trucks in the Denver metropolitan area, again, waiting to see what happens, but they've already got the icer down.
But CDOT's Fritz Holman warns the de-icer and sand can only do so much. Colorado has the highest participation in the nation in the no-call registry. Attorney General John Souther says it'll save you some headaches.
Well, number one, you save yourself a lot of brain damage. Those companies that observe it, and the vast majority of commercial companies do observe the no-call list and don't solicit you.
Nearly 4 million Coloradans are on the registry. You can register or file a complaint online at donotcall.gov. In sports, the Avs snapped their losing streak with a shutout win over the St. Louis Blues last night, and the Nuggets spoiled the Philadelphia homecoming of former Nugget Allen Iverson. The Nuggets beat the Sixers 93-83. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where that overnight snowfall really causes some problems for this morning's commute. We've got crashes northbound I-25 at Evans, a couple different ones on the west side along I-70, both of them in those eastbound lanes. One of them occurred at Ward, the other one right around Colfax. So factor that into your ride as you're making your way Denver bound. Then on the east side of the metro, we've got an accident eastbound I-70 near Havana, as well as further east. This one occurred near E-470. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be cold and windy today, high topping out of about 9 or 10 degrees. Winds will be gusting up to 11, 12 miles an hour, making it feel a lot colder than it really is. Currently, it's 5. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Remember, at King Soopers, you get double fuel points when you buy gift cards. You'll find them for retailers like Home Depot and Best Buy, restaurants, theaters, and more. So give them as gifts or buy them for yourself and earn double fuel points. Get more value for the way you live at King Soopers.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Bye, bye, bye.
806 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Still in the single digits out there, so stay warm and drive slowly. And yes, more snow in the forecast. We've been talking about medical marijuana in the first hour here. State Senator Chris Romer, his new proposal to regulate medical marijuana, making headlines. Also making headlines at this hour, as it seems in every hour in the last few days, the Tiger Woods controversy. And on the line with us now is Dave Zirin, the columnist, the sports writer, and columnist for The Nation magazine. He writes columns that you can find at edgeofsports.com. He's one of my favorite writers. He's written a number of books about really the politics and social issues of sports. Again, edgeofsports.com. And Dave wrote a piece about
the Tiger Woods controversy. And as I always preface this, you know, when you hear the Tiger Woods controversy, you hear that refrain, don't change the channel if you're on AM 760, because we're going to get to a side of this this discussion that's a little different. We're not just going to talk about how many people Tiger Woods slept with, this, that, and the other thing. And Dave's column at edgeofsports.com makes the argument that Tiger Woods, that this controversy is important not necessarily for what it's saying, but what for what it's not saying. Dave, tell us what the crux of your argument really is.
Sure. First of all, David, Mutual Admiration Society, thanks so much for having me on
the
show. Love the work you do.
Thank you. You too.
Second of all, I think this issue actually matters a great deal for people to pay attention to, and not because I care a whit about what happens in Tiger's personal life, not because I feel any great desire to follow this Us Weeklyification of sports, but because, quite simply, Tiger Woods is the first billionaire athlete. He's made over $1 billion in career earnings, and only $90 million of that is through golf. So over $900 million has been made through business ventures. And considering that Tiger Woods, before this incident played out, was, I think, unarguably the most powerful and most popular athlete in the world with cultural capital for days, that it actually matters to look at how he made his money, because the way he's made it, frankly, stinks to high heaven, and it affects all of us in different varying ways.
And by that you mean he is one of the most recognizable corporate spokespeople in the world, and that, you know, everybody, I think, implicitly understands that, because it's hard to look, you know, at a Nike ad or in a magazine without seeing Tiger Woods. I think I just saw him on an ad for a watch, for instance, in the magazine I was reading. So he's everywhere, and a lot of the places that he is have nothing to do with golf. So I guess I wonder, you know, are you arguing that this controversy is important because it's focusing on the sexual dalliances of Tiger Woods, when in fact we should be looking at least even not now, even for years, at who Tiger Woods has chosen to speak for in most of his business life? Is that really what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying that, look, I don't know whether you could make a causal connection between the clear lack of discipline and morality in his personal life, if these latest reports are true, the sheer extent of his infidelity. I could care less about that. And I'm not going to draw some causal connection between that and a business portfolio that just reeks of irresponsibility, although if other people want to make that connection, that's their business. But I do want to say that there is a word that's in the newspapers a lot over the last couple weeks, and that word is Dubai. I mean, it's not just about selling watches. It's that Tiger Woods has been at the center of this $67 billion structure in Dubai called Dubai Land. At the center of it is the Tiger Woods Golf Resort. And the Tiger Woods Golf Resort is something that is an absolute monstrosity of horrible labor practices. Dubai as well, of course, is ground zero of the international illegal sex trade. And human rights organizations, they beg Tiger Woods to say something about this.
So the idea is that the media and the ferment around Tiger Woods is about the alleged outrage of his alleged immorality in his personal life, and yet very, very few people have raised questions of the same kinds of moral questions of morality about what he decides to put his name to.
Exactly, but the ironic thing here, David, is both this and Tiger's very lucrative partnership with Chevron, which even by the standards of oil companies has just a horrific human rights record, and a horrible record of illegal toxic waste dumping that in the United States and beyond, by the way, is that I've had more radio and TV hits to talk about this in the last couple weeks than I have in the last 5 years. And I've been writing about this stuff about Tiger for years. So it's one of those interesting sort of strategic questions about people who see themselves on the left who want to raise issues of corporate responsibility. And sometimes it takes a scandal like this just to shake up the tectonic plates a little bit so we can actually have a little bit of political oxygen to speak about issues that actually matter in terms of people's lives.
Now, I've been, you know, in my own work, I'm writing a book about that deals in part with the 80s and in specific with Michael Jordan. And people have criticized Michael Jordan, for instance, and the criticism hasn't gotten much traction. But you heard at times people criticize Michael Jordan for who he decided to endorse, what kind of products he decided to endorse. Famous interchange, maybe 15, 17 years ago, where he basically said, "I'm the endorser," and Nike, for instance, has to deal with the questions about its sweatshop, as if Jordan had no responsibility whatsoever. And I've gone back and forth on this in an argument, actually, with my wife, which is that I've said, you know, I can't believe Jordan hasn't spoken out on some of these things, for instance, on the Nike sweatshop issue, and you're making the argument now, you know, that it's really an outrage that Tiger Woods has put his name to companies like Chevron, to projects in Dubai, a country that has so many human rights offenses. But then the other side of the argument is, you know, why do they have an obligation to say something? And are we picking on athletes when we expect them to go beyond their business ventures and their own athleticism and become political spokespeople? Are we picking on them by asking them to do that?
It's a terrific question, David. And I would answer that by saying that I think athletes should have the right to both be political or not be political. And oftentimes, in the context of an athletic team, the prevailing pressure is to not be political. And so the first responsibility is actually defend their rights to have even basic free speech rights and not feel like they're going to receive retribution for that. But that being said, I put Tiger in a very different category than Michael Jordan. And which is kind of interesting, because in a lot of ways you could argue that Michael Jordan has been Tiger's number one mentor, and how Tiger lives his life from trying to see how much money he could make, and, you know, that's the Jordan way, is that's the way you keep score of your success, is how many dollars you have in the bank, willing to endorse anything that, you know, that isn't a carbon-based life form, you're going to endorse it. And so that's part of the Jordan legacy that Tiger takes on. But there's another side to it, too, though. I put Tiger in a different category than Jordan, because unlike Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods has always made his trailblazing status as the first great golfer of color as, frankly, a marketing ploy. And Tiger has repeatedly, through Nike, through his famous commercials like the I Am Tiger Woods commercials, or the time where he said, there was a time where someone who looked like me couldn't walk through the country club doors. He is willing to use a lot of the iconography and phraseology of the civil rights movement to sell himself and to sell us products. Yet with that comes no sense of responsibility to the legacy that he is choosing to brand and commercialize. And that, to me, is what opens him up for criticism in a way that maybe we wouldn't criticize, say, like a white golfer like Phil Mickelson, where you might just say, well, what do you expect? He's a golfer. Tiger has chosen to trade with tremendous success, trade on his image as a trailblazer, trade on his image as somewhat of even a civil rights icon. And that, to me, makes him open for, I think, as sharp a criticism as we can muster for his utter inability to speak out when he has the opportunity to make the world a bit of a better place.
Again, our guest is Dave Zirin. He's a sports writer and a columnist for The Nation. You can find his work at edgeofsports.com. He's written a new column about the Tiger Woods controversy and why it is a larger political issue. And that is really a fascinating point about the marketing of Tiger Woods. You're absolutely right. Michael Jordan himself would say he doesn't want to be marketed as a black player. Nike said we don't see Michael Jordan as a black player. Whether you think that's right or wrong, that was the way they presented him. And you're absolutely right. Tiger Woods has been presented. I just was watching the ad a couple days ago in my research where Nike had an ad where it said, you know, I couldn't. You're right. I there were some golf clubs that I couldn't even be able to golf in. Now I wonder if any of this has gotten through to Tiger, or whether it will make a bigger impact on other athletes. I mean, tell us a little bit, just for some historical review, right? I mean, there is a precedent for athletes speaking out on issues. I mean, it's not like what you're talking about here would be unprecedented. I mean, you've got a great legacy. And a follow-up question to that, after you tell us a little bit about that, has something changed? Has something changed where in the past you had athletes speaking out on political issues and today you don't see as many speaking out on political issues? And if something has changed, why has it changed?
Well, yeah, it's a very rich history. There's a reason why we associate Jackie Robinson with the Civil Rights Movement or Muhammad Ali with the period of the 1960s or Billie Jean King with the Women's Liberation Movement or Title IX in the early 70s or Martina Navratilova with a nascent LGBT movement in the 1980s. I don't know about you, David, but the first time I ever was aware that there was such a thing as a lesbian and that they were human beings was the fact that Martina Navratilova in the 80s insisted that her partner, Judy Nelson, be able to sit with the other spouse. And for that to happen at a time where Ronald Reagan wouldn't even say the word AIDS was seismic.
Absolutely.
And for me, being not even, you know, barely 10 years old, it was an education. And for so many people, of course, who grew up in the 50s and 60s, it was an education to see athletes speak out. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that athletes have always had a very unique platform in our society because most athletes, they tend to come from poor working class backgrounds. They're then given a tremendous amount of privilege, if not money, and they're also given a megaphone and an amount of cultural capital that someone of their socioeconomic background could not even dream of having if they weren't an athlete. And so, and yet, you also have the sort of gap that exists between the privileges that they get in a field of play that exalts this idea of the level playing field, and anyone can make it if they try hard enough, and the very real oppression that exists in society. And that gap has always made for powerful spokespeople. That is, spokespeople who would choose to actually take that platform and use it. Now you fast forward that to today. This is one of the things. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, David.
No. Go ahead.
Like, this is one of the things that I say, and I get a lot of disagreement on this, and I respect that there are differing opinions on this. I'm of a belief that you still have that it was very, very bad in the 90s during the heyday of Jordan, but that today in the post 9/11 world, you have had a really, really interesting bumper crop of athletes who have chosen to use their platform to speak out about social issues.
Can you hang through a break?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great. Why don't we have you hang through the break and you'll give us some examples of of kind of what an alternative model, if you will, to the Tiger Woods model looks like in some contemporary examples. Again, on the line with us, Dave Zirin. He is a sports writer and columnist for The Nation magazine, one of my favorite writers out there. The definitely covers the intersection of sports, politics, and social policy. You can find his work at edgeofsports.com. After the break, Dave Zirin is going to fill us in on some examples of athletes, unlike Tiger Woods, who actually use their platform to speak out on key political issues. And get yourself thinking about this, because we're going to open up the phones after we talk to Dave Zirin. We're going to open up the phones and ask, do you think athletes have an obligation to use their platform to speak out on issues? 303-713-7600. We'll get back to our interview with Dave Zirin after a traffic update with John Turk.
Just shut up and play is what I say, Dave. Shut up and play.
No way, man. No way. You don't really believe that, do you?
Yeah.
No way.
I really do.
Well, we'll get your opinion along with the callers. Right. I bet you had a lot of callers who were going to agree with you, too.
Yeah, well, you know, the Muhammad Ali thing, basically. I mean, you know, he was very political as well. I don't see Tiger Woods just kind of wanted to stay out of that realm.
Yeah, but would you have told Muhammad Ali to shut up and play?
Shut up and fight?
Think about that, Turk, as you give us traffic update.
All right, you got it. Traffic really nasty out there. Winter driving conditions all around the metro, basically between Wyoming and the New Mexico state line from end to end on 25. Here's the crashes. Left shoulder, northbound I-25 at Evans. Also one eastbound I-70 near Ward Road. And actually eastbound I-70 near Colfax out on the west end. A couple problems there. Eastbounders on I-70 near Havana in Aurora. Seeing a crash there. Delays back to Quebec Street. One on C-470 for westbounders at Alameda. This one in the left lane. That's causing some problems. Also a rollover crash westbound I-70 near E-470. Be very careful this morning. Slick roads around Denver and Boulder. Forecast snow will be lighter than we first thought. 1 to 3 inches. Going to be cold, though, high around 8 degrees. Right now, 6 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. You
want to add value to your home, lower your energy bills, and help preserve the environment? Best Way Insulation is a Colorado-owned company that can make sure your home is warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer. Purchasing insulation from Best Way can also qualify you for a federal tax credit and rebates from your energy company. For more information, go to bestwayinsulation.com or visit am760.net and enter the keyword insulation. Again, that's bestwayinsulation.com or am760.net, keyword insulation.
Honey, have you been up all night?
There's so much to watch with our new Comcast Digital TV and HBO. I don't want to miss a minute. HBO has movies like Taken and Slumdog Millionaire. I can't help myself.
Sweetie, you do know digital TV comes with on-demand, so you can watch your shows whenever you want and maybe get some sleep.
Oh, yeah, HBO On Demand. Next, I can watch back-to-back episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Big Love, and Entourage. This is awesome.
Comcast Digital TV, with hundreds of on-demand choices, plus HBO and HBO On Demand included. Get it all for just $29.99 a month for 6 months. But hurry, this great offer ends Tuesday, December 15th. Call 1-800-COMCAST today. That's 1-800-COMCAST. Offer ends 12/15/09. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited to new residential customers. After 6 month promo period, regular charge supply. Equipment installation taxes and franchise fees extra. Other restrictions apply. For more information, call 1-800-COMCAST.
The perfect gift. Sale ends December 24th. The gift of sleep. The gift of back pain relief. The gift of a better relationship. Only at a Sleep Number center.
Select Comfort Sleep Number centers are in most major malls, including Cherry Creek and the Promenade Shops at Sentara and Loveland.
If you open your ears,
and I'm just one of those regular guys,
your mind will follow.
I am a liberal.
I consider myself an independent.
And it just blows my mind.
It doesn't matter what side you're from. What matters is what you say, the truth.
Listen.
Be more informed.
Become more informed.
Learn.
I learn a lot. I feel like I get all the real news from you guys.
Talk.
The honest, regular folk.
AM 760.
Taking action.
Colorado's Progressive Talk.
24 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Our guest, Dave Zirin, who is a sports writer and columnist for The Nation. You can find his work, edgeofsports.com. And we've been talking about the Tiger Woods controversy. Dave's latest column says that the Tiger Woods controversy is a bigger issue than the controversy itself. Raises a lot of questions about what Tiger Woods' celebrity is all about. And is he there? Did we lose him? I think we lost him. We're going to try to get him back. John Turk is going to try to get him back. It's been an interesting discussion, and the question is whether athletes have an obligation to use their platform to speak out on issues. And Dave Zirin's piece arguing that everybody's saying that Tiger Woods is immoral or problematic for his private behavior. Has not asked the question, well, what about Tiger Woods' public behavior? Right? What about Tiger Woods, who has made $90 million in golf and $910 million on his business ventures, on being a spokesperson for business? And we've asked the question, 303-713-7600, whether you think athletes have an obligation to use their platform to speak out on issues. And we've got Dave Zirin back now. And Dave, you were mentioning that there are athletes, that there was a gap, that we had a history of, you know, Muhammad Ali, Arthur Ashe, Billie Jean King, speaking out on various political issues. And then there was a gap in the Jordan era in the 90s where it was all about making money. But you were saying that in recent years, since 9/11, some athletes have been using their platform to speak out on issues. Who are you in particular referring to?
Well, first of all, just to say, as we have this discussion, we have to remember that athletes don't exist in their own universe. And so there, people like Muhammad Ali, Arthur Ashe, Billie Jean King were deeply affected by the movements of the 60s and early 1970s. So it was really without the attendant movements in the 1990s. I mean, one of the things that the movements of the 90s did was that it pushed people like Jordan to actually speak about sweatshops. I mean, that wouldn't have happened without a movement.
Right. He wouldn't have come out and just said it himself. There was a progressive movement saying, hey, what is Nike doing in their factories?
Yeah, Global Justice Movement, USAS. I'm assuming your listeners are familiar with some of that. And so that's very important to say. So without the movement, you don't see the push against the athletic industrial complex. But what I find fascinating is when then the athletes themselves help shape the movement. I mean, we could just go, and so because of that, what you see, first of all, is in the Bush era. I mean, at its nadir, I think Bush had an approval rating of 2% in the African-American community with a 5% a possible variable there. So he could have actually had negative support in the African-American community. And, of course, that reflected itself in the world of sports and not just among African-American athletes. The amount of athletes who spoke out, first of all, against the war in Iraq was actually very long and very underpublicized, from all-stars like Steve Nash, the basketball player, two-time MVP, to Etan Thomas, who plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder, used to play for the Wizards. These are basketball players. Etan spoke at anti-war rallies here in Washington, D.C. Jeff Monson from the World of Ultimate Fighting would hand out anti-war stuff on his way to the Octagon to fight. Even Dale Earnhardt Jr. from the world of NASCAR, he got in a lot of trouble by saying that everyone in the country had an obligation to watch Fahrenheit 9/11. So these things happened all over the place. And I could Joe Kim Noah, Adelius Thomas. I mean, I could just name athletes who stepped up and said, you know what, I'm against this war. This war is ridiculous. One of my favorites is Scott Fujita, who's the defensive captain of the New Orleans Saints. Scott was adopted by a Japanese, it's a fascinating story, by a Japanese-American family. That's why his last name is Fujita, but Scott is like a big old white dude, he was adopted into this family, and the grandparents were interned in California during World War II. And so that made Scott very hardcore against Guantanamo Bay and illegal detentions. And Scott also is somebody who spoke out and endorsed the recent National Equality March in Washington, D.C. For LGBT rights. 200,000 people marched in the district, and Scott Fujita was not just a signee, but he did several interviews with me in the lead-up to the march, and you had a very interesting dynamic develop where this became this huge story. Like, this football player who's married with a couple of kids speaks out strongly for marriage equality, who plays in the South in Louisiana. And all these ESPN guys tried to beat down the door of Louisiana Superdome to actually speak to Scott, and the team put a shutdown on any interviews.
Yeah, well, that alludes to the idea, and that's the key point. Give us in your sports reporting, give us a sense of how difficult it is, because you know it's in some ways. Right. I mean, I think you're absolutely. I obviously agree with you about Tiger Woods, that we need to look at somebody like him and what he has come to represent and what he's using his platform for. But give us a sense of how difficult it is. What does the average athlete, or you know, a relative star, maybe not a Tiger Woods, or even a Tiger Woods, what kind of actual pressure they face? Because I bring this up and because I remember Michael Jordan said when they asked him, they asked him to endorse, for instance, a Democratic candidate in North Carolina against Jesse Helms. And Jordan, I can't remember the exact quote, but he essentially said, look, Republicans also buy sneakers. And that sort of opened up a little window into the kind of pressure that these athletes are under to actually not speak out. How difficult is it for them to speak out?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, people like Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, I would argue, have next to no pressure on them. I mean, they've reached a certain rare status where if Tiger Woods actually made a public statement that said something like, hey, I do business with Dubai because it's good business. But that being said, I've made it clear to the minister of whoever that illegal sex trading of children has to stop. I mean, what's the downside for him in doing that, David? I mean, that would be like, that's like being pro puppies or something. I mean, that's hardly a controversial stand.
And what you're saying is that Tiger Woods, in fact, that the biggest athletes, they actually have the most freedom because in many ways their corporate sponsors need them as much or maybe even more than the individual icons need the particular corporate sponsors.
If Michael Jordan went into Nike's offices at the height of his fame and said something to the effect of, yeah, I want some sort of public statement about these sweatshops, and I understand if you can't do a living wage tomorrow, but if you could release to the press your 20-year plan for improving living conditions in Southeast Asia, and I want that by 5 p.m. tomorrow, they would have said, yes, thank you, sir, may I please have another. because that was a sort of a power imbalance, which does happen with the greatest athletes. I mean, they have what I call and what other people call, it's not my phrase, but cultural capital. You know, they may not be, I mean, Michael Jordan may not be more wealthy than Phil Knight, the CEO of Nike. But Phil Knight needs Michael Jordan more than Michael Jordan needs Phil Knight.
Now, what about for the average grunt athlete?
There you go. Now we get into some more interesting territory here, because think about somebody like Scott Fujita, who we just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Scott plays in the NFL. What does the NFL have? The NFL has non-guaranteed contracts. There is a tremendous institutional pressure in all sports leagues, but the NFL in particular, because of the high turnover rate and because of the non-guaranteed contracts, to not speak out. Some of that pressure is on the level of sort of rah-rah-rah BS, where they say, look, you're part of a team and you're undermining the team. Several NFL teams that I know about make players sign a kind of agreements, like a whole list of agreements that says, like, these are the points of unity, if you will, for the team. And on the points of unity is not to bring divisive politics into the locker room. That was actually one of the points of agreement for one of the guys in your neck of the woods, Mike Shanahan, when he coached the Denver Broncos. And that tells you something about some of the hypocrisy at work, because Mike Shanahan was a dyed-in-the-wool Republican. He spoke at rallies for George W. Bush in the 2004 reelection. And yet when it came to his players, they did not have the right of political freedom of expression in the locker room. This is the hypocrisy that exists in sports. And this is why, like, the question you're asking your listeners about, should athletes speak out, should they not speak out? I mean, I'm a freedom guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, if they want to speak, great. But let's be honest, the way the pendulum exists right now, the pressure is to not speak.
Or
so the fight that needs to be waged is to them even have, let them have the oxygen to speak.
Would you go even farther and say that not only is the pressure for them not to speak, but the additional corollary is that if they speak, they should speak from a conservative perspective? Does that exist? I mean, and that's an open question, an honest question.
I think that there is, I mean, from talking, I only can tell you this from talking to athletes who I know are very serious conservatives, that there is a pressure on them to not speak as well.
So it's all across the board.
It's much more a question of, they may get a more sympathetic ear from ownership.
Mm-hmm.
But let's face it, the conservative ideas of someone like Spencer Hawes, who's the center for the Sacramento Kings, who's to the right of right on immigration and on all sorts of issues, Second Amendment, all kinds of stuff. Those ideas are just statistically less popular in the populace right now.
And that leads me to my last question. Again, on the line with us, Dave Zirin. He's the sports writer and columnist for The Nation. Find his work, edgeofsports.com. Just to bring it to the old Rush Limbaugh debate, the one where, you know, it was a couple months ago where he said, you know, the NFL is persecuting me and they're persecuting my conservative politics by not letting me buy a team. And I had argued at the time, look, this is not that the NFL owners are liberals who don't like Rush Limbaugh. This
right.
is that the NFL owners are corporate owners, and they don't like the kinds of political, ideological controversies that Rush Limbaugh or, let's say, a progressive Rush Limbaugh would bring to the table. I mean, this seems to, what you're saying seems to validate that
Absolutely.
Argument.
This is about, I mean, the Rush Limbaugh imbroglio was about the billion-dollar brand that is the NFL and a recognition that Rush Limbaugh is toxic to that brand. Now, it is worth saying, though, and this is just, I was thinking of this as you were talking, David, so I'm sorry I didn't get it in with the earlier answer, is that some of this is also about how we understand politics. Because, for example, any player, if they wanted to do like a support the troops event or raise money for the USO, that would be seen as a non-political act that was an act of community service, no matter what feelings might be about the individual wars and occupations overseas. But if a player said something like, hey, I support the troops and I want to bring them home, and that's why I think we need immediate withdrawal from Iraq and Afghanistan, that would be a little bit controversial. So some of it is also about what is accepted politics. So pro-war stuff, very accepted. Racism, not accepted. And if you notice, that's where Rush got tripped up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's the definition of what's acceptable and what you allude to, which is really, really fascinating.
I mean, I don't even like the word politically correct, but let's say corporately correct.
Corporately correct, that's right. And what's fascinating about it is that many, or at least some of the things that we accept as corporately correct, the notion of that supporting the troops, quote unquote, means effectively supporting the war. The notion that idea is so embedded, for instance, into what is acceptable and yet it is a completely, as you say, a completely political and politicized, almost ideological position. Dave Zirin, his work is at edgeofsports.com. He's the sports writer and columnist for The Nation. Dave, thanks so much for taking the time. Big fan of your work. Keep up the great work.
My privilege, David. Anytime.
Take care. 8:37 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. So we're going to open up the phones now. 303-713-7600. You heard the argument there. Sports writer Dave Zirin arguing that the Tiger Woods controversy should force us all to ask what is controversial and what is not controversial. This whole idea that Tiger Woods is somehow an immoral person because of his personal sexual or alleged personal sexual dalliances. And yet he is a guy who endorses and has made the lion's share of his $1 billion. That's right, $1 billion. The lion's share of his $1 billion putting his face and brand on corporate entities that have all sorts of questions about their own morality. Tiger Woods, as Dave Zirin mentioned, has a big investment and puts his face on a big investment in Dubai, which is known as a center of the sex trade, which is known as a place where there's slave labor. Tiger Woods has a big affiliation with Chevron, which has been one of, serious human rights violators, environmental rights violators. So the question is, do athletes, in light of this Tiger Woods scandal, do they have an obligation to speak out on issues? Should we expect them to speak out on issues? Is it even fair to ask them to speak out on issues? And in particular with Tiger Woods, because it's such a good example, should we particularly ask people like Tiger Woods, when they have decided to put themselves out there as a corporate spokesperson, and in a political way? Tiger Woods, a lot of his advertising is about how he is the first person of color to excel in golf. Should we particularly ask people who use that as part of their brand to speak out on these issues? 303-713-7600 is the number. Again, 303-713-7600. We got open phones.
Can I make a brief comment?
Yeah,
Dave?
Fire away.
You know, it's all about separating the person from what they do. Like, you can take actors and actresses and put them in the same thing. Like, you know, John Voight, super hardcore, staunch conservative D-bag. But great actor, and I love his stuff. And it's like, you know, for the other side, it's Sean Penn. You may be a conservative, you hate it, you know. You think he's a great actor, but you don't like what he does progressive movements.
But is there a difference in that Tiger Woods himself goes outside of his golf game to become the face of various corporations
like Chrysler and Nike and
right, exactly, you know. I mean, doesn't that require us to?
I don't think he's going out of his way to make himself, you know, the face of that company.
What do you mean?
Those companies are going out and trying to make him the face of their organization.
I understand that, but he is complicit in that. He is agreeing.
He is agreeing to be that sponsor.
So shouldn't we then ask him? Shouldn't we have an expectation that, hey, if you're going to make yourself a spokesperson for a company, you should have to answer for some of the behaviors of that company? You can't. That's actually my point here. You can't be the spokesman for a company and then say, hey, I got no responsibility for what the company's doing. Right? Like,
yeah.
You can't go out and be a spokesperson like Michael Jordan tried and say, hey, I'm Nike's spokesperson. I'm telling everybody to buy Nike. But, hey, all these questions about sweatshops, I'm not responsible for answering any of them. You can't have it both ways. Right?
No, you make a great point, and I think that's what a lot of these sports and, you know, these athletes are faced with.
That is what they're faced with.
Is it for Tiger Woods, is it his agent's job or his job to go out and do the research on what Nike's actually doing or Chrysler?
You're right. And look, we deal with it here, right? If I endorse something here on the radio, I better do my research because I probably got to answer questions about it, right? And I think it's incumbent on them to do the research. As Dave Zirin says, Tiger Woods isn't doing that research. He doesn't seem to care. And the question is, should we expect him to?
Yeah,
we'll get to your calls, 303-713-7600, after a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, stop and go pretty much on all the major highways around town. I'm looking at the board here, and it's all red. That isn't a good sign for you commuters out there. Let's just put it that way. Got a crash, right lane blocked, westbound 6th Avenue as you approach Kipling. Sheridan Boulevard is where the delays start there. Also crash northbound I-25 at Alameda. Delays back to Emerson Street. A couple on I-70, or actually three of them, eastbound side. Let's start is in Denver. One eastbound I-70 near Havana. Then you're going to run into one at Colfax. Another one at Ward Road. Also crash eastbound Turnpike near Cherryvale. Back in the Metro, westbound C-470, accident near Alameda blocking the left lane. Accident northbound 225 before DTC Boulevard. Serious crash on Havana near Florida. Streets are extremely slick out there. Be careful, folks. Forecast, cloudy and cold. Snow lasting till late this afternoon. Lighter than we thought, though. 1 to 3 inches around Denver. They expect about 2 to 6 inches to the west, south, and north of the Metro. We're looking for a high of 8, right now 6 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Today, AM 760 is brought to you by Cottman Transmission.
Get ready to take down a number that will change the way you look at home loans forever. I call it My Bank, My Loan, My Way. It's a line of credit that pays off your existing loan and keeps your equity available to you when you need it. And it uses your normal household checking account to lower your average daily balance, and you pay a lot less interest, which shortens your loan without changing your spending habits. The best home loan ever. 866-259-8206. 866-259-8206.
The ebook 10th Anniversary Edition is here. Save money with King Soopers, Comcast On Demand Movies, and Copper Mountain and Winter Park 2-for-1 lift tickets, and much more. Grab yours at King Soopers or online at eduproject.com.
Surround her with the strength of your love with the Love's Embrace collection, now at Jared.
That's Jared!
Jared is proud to present the new Love's Embrace collection. Diamonds in a design created to capture the comfort found in each other's arms. This holiday, there is surely no more romantic gift. Available as necklaces, rings, or earrings, starting at just $79.99. At Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
The first time, the shelves are going bare, and we need your help. Join the Salvation Army as we bring hope to those in need this holiday season. Your gift of $33 will help feed a family of four for an entire week. Just $33 will provide basic groceries, or perhaps the only toys their children will receive this holiday season. Please don't forget these families in need. Give food and hope now by calling 1-800-SAL-ARMY. That's 1-800-SALARMY. Or go online to am760.net.
Interstate Batteries. Cold winter weather can really strain a car battery. Be safe. Have yours tested at one of the Interstate Batteries' 200,000 dealers nationwide. There's one in every county in the U.S. Find your closest dealer at interstatebatteries.com.
The holiday season brings lots of parties, family gatherings, and plenty of pictures. Look your best for the holidays. Restore your hair's natural beauty and healthy appearance, guaranteed, with Ovation Cell Therapy.
This holiday, do something special for your hair. Repair the damage from harsh chemicals and heat styling. Grow your hair thicker, stronger, longer, and faster, up to twice as fast with Ovation Cell Therapy.
Ovation is 100% guaranteed to grow your hair stronger and stop breakage naturally. No transplants, no prescription meds, no side effects, and Ovation is completely safe, even for chemotherapy hair loss recovery.
Look your best this holiday season with Ovation Cell Therapy. Buy a set for you,
and give a set to a special friend on your holiday list.
And save on both. Ovation makes a great holiday gift.
Give the gift you love to get. Give the Ovation Holiday Gift Set, a special holiday package at a special holiday price. Visit OvationHair.com and enter AM760 to receive a special 10% introductory savings. OvationHair.com.
Do you want to create more power and greatness for your life and career? Are you ready to transform your way of thinking and explore the mysteries of your mind? Then catch the Inevitable Radio Show Saturdays at 8 a.m. right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hi, I'm Kate with Kottman Transmission. Snow season is here, and you want your vehicle in top condition. Proper maintenance keeps your vehicle on the road by preventing problems before they start. Schedule your free transmission check today. We answer our phone 24 hours a day, every day, and we provide pickup and drop-off to help your life run smoothly. For prompt and reliable maintenance and repairs, Kottman Transmission has two convenient locations, on South Broadway north of Yale and on Ward Road north of I-70. For more information, please visit KottmanDenver.com.
846 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Two things before we get to the phones. One, Senator Michael Bennett's Denver office, apparently the lines are jammed full. We told you Michael Bennett has a key vote on whether to reappoint Ben Bernanke. If you care about the economy, you will call Michael Bennett and tell him to vote no on Ben Bernanke's renomination. Bennett on the banking committee, and there's now a move afoot to stop Bernanke's nomination. It's very real, and it could be successful. Seriously, I wouldn't tell you to call Bennett's office unless it was important. Bernanke representing all of those bailouts, all of the terrible, terrible deregulatory policies. He was one of the top regulators who fell down on the job. Give his D.C. office a call now that his Colorado office number is jammed shut. 202-224-5852. Again, 202-224-5852. Tell him to vote no on Bernanke. Also, go to our website, am760.net. Check out my must-read of the day. You got to read it. It's not my must-read. It's a must-read. I think it should be the must-read of the day. Chris Hedges has an article up. Go to am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Chris Hedges, the great author, progressive author, has a must-read saying that liberals are useless. I don't necessarily agree with everything he's saying, but it's a very provocative article. I encourage you to read it. 303-713-7600. We're going to get to a discussion. Do athletes have an obligation to speak out on political issues, especially when they are endorsing big corporations? 303-713-7600. We just heard from Dave Zirin, the sports writer, saying that the Tiger Woods controversy about his morality. We should have been asking questions about Tiger Woods' morality when he endorsed companies like Chevron and Dubai, companies that have awful human rights records. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Miriam in Aurora. Miriam, you're on AM 760.
Hi. One thing is, he does, I don't think they have to necessarily speak out against things, but if they tie their name to a product or a company that does evil things or questionable things, then yes, they share in the responsibility of what that company does.
Well, why do you think we haven't, as a society, asked about Tiger Woods and who he endorses? I mean, Tiger Woods, I mean, Dave Zirin, the sports writer, points out, look, Tiger Woods has a major business.
Probably because there's so many more bigger issues going on.
That's probably
why I haven't thought about it, because there are a lot of other issues that.
And I guess that's fair, but there's also a lot of bigger issues going on as well. But Tiger Woods is generating huge headlines for his sexual dalliances.
Right. You're right. And the whole issues of who he supports should also be up there, too.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I think the answer, I think I was asking a rhetorical question. I think the real answer is, look, if you start asking questions about who Tiger Woods is endorsing, asking tough questions about, let's say, Dubai or Chevron, well, the media, a lot of the media doesn't want to ask those questions. You know why? Because the media,
doing the same thing.
Exactly, with their ads, they are doing exactly the same thing.
They're guilty of the same.
They are guilty. It's exactly.
Make a buck.
That's exactly right. And
sell
so,
your soul at the same time.
Yeah, it gets to the same question. That's absolutely right. And I couldn't agree more. You know, especially these athletes who are such powerful brands. The idea that we don't ask them questions about who they endorse.
Can I say something else?
Yeah, fire away.
About on a different subject.
Sure.
I do not think that Harry Reid should apologize for the comments he made comparing the healthcare issue to slavery.
You're referring.
He was absolutely right on.
You're referring to, of course, the controversy about the supposed controversy. Republicans are freaking out that Harry Reid had, if not likened Republicans to slave owners, but basically said, look, essentially every fight to change the status quo is always going to cause objection from the forces of the status quo, and he cited slavery as an example, and the Republicans are saying, oh, this is terrible. I couldn't agree with you more. The fact that Republicans are crying outrage, you know, it's crocodile tears. They're not really outraged. They're just trying to change the subject. Hey, Miriam, thanks for the call. 8:51 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll finish up our discussion about athletes and their political responsibilities. Why are we only asking questions about Tiger Woods' morality in light of his personal sexual dalliances, but we haven't asked questions about his morality in endorsing all sorts of companies that have serious human rights questions? Companies in Dubai, center of the sex trade, Chevron, a human rights, all sorts of questions about its human rights record. Should we expect athletes to have some sort of political or moral responsibility, if not to speak out, then to at least answer for the companies that they are endorsing? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Stop and go pretty much everywhere you go this morning. It's pretty nasty out there. We do have several accidents. I'm just going to run through them right now. Starting on I-25, new crash southbound side near Yale. Northbounders still dealing with this single vehicle accident near Alameda. Now we have one of the backups at Emerson. Delays go back past DU around Colorado Boulevard. Crash blocking the right lane east, westbound 6th Avenue, rather, as you approach Kipling. The delays there begin back around Sheridan. Also tough getting on to 6th Avenue. Avenue from Wadsworth. Crash on I-70 eastbound side near Ward, one eastbound side near Colfax, also one on the eastbound side at Havana. And if you're on the turnpike, going to run into one eastbound, eastbounders from Baseline to Cherryvale, that's where that crash is. Also got one in Littleton, westbound C-470 near Alameda. On the surface streets, serious crash Havana near Florida. Forecast today, snow will be lighter than we first thought, 1 to 3 inches. Going to be cold, though, highs around 8 degrees. All morning we've been hovering around 6 degrees. That's your temperature right now in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
What? Hey there, cool jacket.
Oh, thanks. My wife got it for me at REI. Perfect gift for days like this.
No kidding. Crisp winter air, lots of fresh snow, the sun is shining. Does it get any better than this?
Let's think about that for a minute. Yeah, no,
it doesn't.
This is pretty much the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out. Guarantee your holiday happiness by giving great gifts from REI. Hurry into your local REI store or shop REI.com. REI. Find out.
Coloradco.com.
It's that time of year again. If you're wishing for a new front-load washer and dryer or a new stainless steel kitchen, I hope you'll spend some time with us this holiday season. Hi, I'm Brad Barnett, president of Mountain High Appliance in Louisville. From our humble beginnings in my garage in 1993, people say our success is because of our low prices. Some like the test drive kitchens. I know we carry more brands than any store in Colorado, but to me, the real value is my staff. Friendly, knowledgeable, and more experienced than you'll find at any big box store. Don't believe me? Visit our super showroom in Louisville and see what real old-fashioned service is all about. Our world-class installers will be at your home before you know it, and you'll experience what we call the Mountain High Difference. We're simply the best. Ask about our Thermador 1-2 free event. Save up to $6,000 on a new kitchen from Thermador. With two Thermador appliances, your third is free. Visit us weekdays till 8, Saturday and Sunday till 5, just north of Flatirons Mall in Louisville, or on the web at mountainhighappliance.com. Happy holidays. Thank you.
Attention, fellow Colorado residents. This is an important consumer alert.
The National Law Institute is a group of consumer lawyers and fellow Coloradans committed to helping you understand your legal rights and protecting you from credit card companies. Are you struggling with credit card debt? How different would your holidays be this year without credit card payments? Wasting time and money with debt settlement scams or filing bankruptcy are not your only options. The National Law Institute can help give you a fresh start, and you don't pay them a dime in upfront fees. In these challenging times, credit card companies are more willing than ever to forgive your debt for a fraction of what you owe. Call the National Law Institute now at 877-DEBT-313 to learn how to qualify so you and your family can enjoy the holiday season in peace. Call 877-DEBT-313 today to schedule a free consultation with one of their attorneys. That's 877-DEBT-313, or visit them online at thenationallawinstitute.com.
In national news, the New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited number of classic U.S. silver coins. At the end of this broadcast, we'll provide a toll-free number you can call to receive free information and a free DVD. Millions of classic U.S. silver coins were damaged in circulation, and millions more were melted down during World War I for their precious silver content, leaving relatively few in existence. But a hoard of shining, brilliant, uncirculated silver coins, saved from destruction, were amassed and stored away in vaults. Today, in a startling announcement, the New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited quantity of these shimmering U.S. silver coins with a historical legacy beyond their silver value, available on a first-come, first-served basis by calling 1-800-400-1841. To receive the free collector's DVD, call now. The number again is 1-800-400-1841. That's 1-800-400-1841.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Remember, call Michael Bennett's office. Tell him to oppose Ben Bernanke's renomination. He's got a key vote on the banking committee, 202-224-5852. 202-224-5852. We're going to go back to the phones, our discussion about whether athletes like Tiger Woods have a responsibility to speak out or at least answer for the actions of their corporate sponsors. 303-713-7600. And is Tiger really immoral for his private behavior? But no one's asked the question about his immorality of endorsing companies that have various human rights violations to their names. Ronald in Henderson. Ronald, you're on AM 760.
Thank you, David. Hello?
Fire away.
Yeah, you know, I just had a comment about today's athletes and all this situation that comes up with their goings on and everything. I've noticed coming up as a child watching Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Muhammad Ali, all these guys actually stood for something. And today it seems like these guys don't stand for anything except a consumeristic attitude. And I just wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And Dave Zirin had mentioned this, had said that there was a change from the 60s and 70s. And then in the late 80s and 90s, the athletics were really depoliticized. Now he said, and it's an important point, he said it's because the culture itself was depoliticized. And our culture in general has become so much more consumeristic. And athletes tend to be a projection of that culture. But you're absolutely, absolutely right. Hey, thanks for the call. Tom, you got about 30 seconds. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hey, David, I was going to say that I don't think that you can hold Tiger Woods as more responsible for the workings of someone like Chevron than you could hold yourself responsible for the inner workings of, you know, like Carbonite, who, you know, is endorsed by both Rush Limbaugh and on this station by Ed.
That's different. I have to answer for those that I endorse. Tiger Woods is putting his face on the companies. He doesn't have to answer. I don't think Tiger Woods has to answer for everything the PGA does. But I do think Tiger Woods, as somebody who is the face of these companies, telling people to buy the products he makes, I think he does have to answer for them. All right, stick around.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. Open your media player now and click on the banner to get your free bottle of Beta Prostate today. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. To get a full 30-day supply, rush to your door, click on the banner located next to your media player now. Or if you prefer, call 1-800-213-8043. That's 1-800-213-8043. This offer is for new customers only. All you pay is shipping and handling. Call or click now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-213-8043. That's 1-800-213-8043.
Turn to the left. With AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. And AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. Washington's top commander in Afghanistan says President Obama's goal is achievable without having to ask for more than the 30,000 additional U.S. troops Mr. Obama's committed to the fight.
The mission is not only important, it is also achievable. We can and will accomplish this mission.
General Stanley McChrystal testifying before the House Armed Services Committee.
I believe the next 18 months are the critical period in this war, because I believe they're critical in the minds of the Afghan people.
McChrystal and Washington's ambassador to Kabul, Carl Eikenberry, will also be appearing before the Senate Armed Services Committee today. Within the half hour, President Obama will spell out new plans for creating jobs. Let's go live to CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer at the White House.
And Nick, those plans include using federal bailout money repaid by banks. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner told CBS News that money will boost the president's effort.
What that means is the country now has more resources available to meet these immediate challenges.
Officials note bailout money will be narrowly targeted for business loans and other job creation moves. Mr. Obama also wants to invest billions of additional dollars in highway, port, and airport improvements. Live at the White House, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
Shockwaves across Iraq as a series of coordinated bomb attacks in Baghdad left 118 people dead and scores of others wounded. The blasts tore through crowded areas of the capital near government buildings. Final preparations are underway as Ohio executes convicted killer Kenneth Byros. He'll be the first person put to death by a lethal injection of just one chemical instead of three. Reporter Greg Saber is covering the execution.
It's been pretty much agreed upon that this single injection sedative will take longer for the inmate to die before it gets into his system.
Ohio switched to the single drug after an attempted three-drug execution in September was badly botched. Clean and pure from the tap, an examination by the New York Times has found that during the past 5 years, the drinking water provided 49 million Americans contained various chemicals, including arsenic and uranium, as well as bacteria found in sewage. Gerard Capel, who's written a history of New York City's water supply, isn't surprised.
There are all kinds of impurities in water that we drink, but the human body is also a pretty good filter.
The middle of the country is bracing for a serious winter storm that's already blasted the west.
This is Dave Price in Flagstaff, Arizona, where over 20 inches of snow has fallen overnight, a record for this date. The heavy snow now beginning to work its way eastward towards the Rockies and the Great Plains. Blizzard watches and winter storm warnings are in effect. Nebraska and Iowa on the hit list, too, with winds upwards of 40 miles per hour and whiteout conditions.
And temperatures have plummeted in the rich farm and vineyard country of California, which is threatening crops and could lead to higher prices for produce and wine. Checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 105 points. This is CBS News.
For delivering strong starts and years of dependable service, you can count on CarQuest batteries. Prices are as low as $49.99 exchange for our 50-month battery. Backed with a coast-to-coast warranty and our reputation for quality, you start with the best at CarQuest Auto Parts stores. Just visit CarQuest.com for the nearest location.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place, as you'll discover. Go in to CarQuest and roll.
An important message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
It's that time of year again, Rose.
Yeah, Medicare open enrollment.
My son and I were talking about prescription drug plans. I compared my options, and I like what I have.
Now's the time to review your Medicare prescription drug and health plans. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
So how is little Billy?
Little Billy is 42.
Open enrollment ends December 31st, so visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. The furlough of 500 workers at the Vestas wind turbine plant in Windsor could carry a political price for Governor Ritter, who's made green energy the linchpin of his economic strategy.
Also, you remember, he sort of went to war with the old energy economy with drilling rules and the severance tax. So he doesn't have any friends in that camp.
Political analyst Floyd Cerulli, Vestas, cites the low cost of natural gas as one reason demand is down for its wind turbines. Time to take out the heavy parkas. Temperatures across the state will barely make it out of single digits today, and tonight's low will drop to down below 4 below 0.
You know, the record low is 14 below, so could be colder.
Carl Burrows with the National Weather Service says we could get up to 6 inches of snow before today's storm moves out. CDOT's Fritz Holman says they've got more than 75 plows out this morning.
Another area we're watching very carefully right now is I-25 south of Pueblo, where we're having some snow starting to stick to the road. And with these temperatures, there's going to be ice everywhere.
In sports, the Avs snapped their losing streak with a shutout win over St. Louis last night. The Nuggets spoiled the Philadelphia homecoming of former Nugget Allen Iverson. The Nuggets beat the Sixers 93-83. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where this morning's commute is going to take a while. Southbounders on I-25, you're still feeling it, making your way underneath the bridges past DU. We've got an accident that occurred right around Yale. Speeds are going to dip down into the teens and 20s through that stretch. Northbounders, you're still feeling it. We got a couple different crashes there. Northbound I-25 near Alameda. One that happened in the backups north of Emerson. So that drive between the Tech Center and downtown is going to still cost you at least 20, 25 minutes of drive time. Eastbound I-70 near Havana, a little bit sluggish. We've got a crash there. They're mopping up a wreck on the west side on C-470 that occurred near Alameda. Now, the slowest stretches of this morning's commute, though, exist on the turnpike, so you're going to find some delays, especially on the westbound side of 36. As you're making your way boulder-bound, we had an earlier accident eastbound 36 that occurred near Cherryvale. Now, talking to some truckers that were out and about on the turnpike, said that there was a sheet of ice, and so everybody needs to take it easy. That on both sides of the highway. Surface streets, they're also a mess well, with numerous accidents being reported all around the metro area. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be cold and gray again today with a high of only about 9 or 10 degrees. Wind will be gusting about 11 or 12 miles an hour, so that's going to make it feel a lot colder than it really is. Currently, it's 6 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Tis the winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide. Very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
907 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Before we get to our next guest, just want to remind you, call Michael Bennett's office, Senator Michael Bennett. His D.C. office number, 202-224-5852. 202-224-5852. He has got a key vote on whether to reconfirm, renominate, and reappoint Ben Bernanke to the chairmanship of the Federal Reserve. Bernanke, of course, representing all those big bailouts. He pushed $1 trillion plus in bailouts. Bernanke was a top regulator of banks who fell down on the job in the lead up to the financial meltdown. Bernanke, by the way, admits that that's true, admits that he fell down on the job. Why should he get his job back? My argument is, and this is the argument I'm going to make in my column on Friday when it comes out in the newspapers, we'll go into it a little bit more in depth. My argument is, if you allow somebody who falls down on the job to get their job back, to stay in their job, to be rewarded with being reappointed, you're saying to every other regulator, no big deal if you fall down on the job. So Michael Bennett has a key vote on the Senate Banking Committee. There's a lot of talk that Bernanke could go down. His appointment, his reappointment could be shot down in the Senate Banking Committee. If you want to see a new economic policy, call Michael Bennett's office, 202-224-5852. Also, click over to our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. You'll find two things there. There's a link there to my blog where I go over why Bernanke should be voted against and Bennett's centrality in that nomination. Also, we have our must-read of the day. It's a really, really fascinating piece by progressive author and writer Chris Hedges, the former New York Times writer. His article says, "Liberals are useless." Not saying I agree with the conclusion, but it's a very thought-provoking article. It's over at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Okay, up now, as always, Eric Bollert from Media Matters. He's a senior fellow at Media Matters. You can find his work at mediamatters.org. He's the author of Lapdogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush, and Bloggers on the Bus, How the Internet Changed Politics and the Press. Before we get to Eric, let's play the Media Matters Minute for today.
This is the Media Matters Minute. In for Ben Fischel, I'm Jess Levin. Our top story today, Rush Limbaugh amped up his rhetoric while discussing the start of today's climate change summit in Copenhagen.
This is terrorism. This is jihadism, environmental jihadism that is being perpetrated on the people around the world for a political belief. I think it's appropriately fitting that the first day of the Copenhagen fraud climate hoax happens on December 7th. We're being attacked again. We're being attacked again, this time by the international community, with a program called Cap and Trade.
On a somewhat related note, Glenn Beck again covered the manufactured scandal dubbed Climategate by the conservative media and drew an interesting historical comparison.
For the first time in American history, we are on the wrong side. We're on the Axis power globally, and we are on the wrong side internally. I never thought I'd see this day come.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
So there you have it. And Eric, this is just the continued effort by the right to essentially politicize the issue of climate change. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh yeah, I mean it's beyond politicizing. I mean you hear them talking about this. They're dehumanizing would be a pretty good way of describing it. I mean they're terrorists. They're jihadists. They're not just wrong, but they're trying to undermine America. It's interesting. Beck talked about we're on the wrong side, we're on the Nexus side. There was a new Gallup poll that has an international poll in terms of which countries take the population takes global warming seriously. Glenn Beck apparently would be very comfortable in China and India. Only 28% of people in China think global warming is a serious threat. So it's interesting, this right-wing movement really is very much in lockstep with the Chinese population in terms of how they view global warming. So maybe they should think about forming some sort of an alliance with the Chinese government to talk down climate change and global warming. But it gives you a pretty good indication of where they are. And yes, obviously they're trying to raise doubts. There's been some success. There's no doubt we've seen some movement in the polls in the United States population in the last year about climate change. But leave it to Limbaugh and Beck and others, not just to sort of try to raise doubts, but to just go so far over the edge and equate scientists with terrorists.
It strikes me that there has been a change, obviously, in the conservative movement, but that the term conservative used to mean, I mean, its root is conserve. Its root is almost puritanical. And yet the conservative movement today, when you listen to the conservative media, it seems to endorse unbridled consumption. Almost the opposite of conservative puritanism. And maybe that's what it would say is, well, we want to give people the choice. I mean, I think it was Dick Cheney who said, conservation is a nice personal virtue, but it's not something that we as a society should legislate. I mean, isn't there some kind of contradiction whereby these people are talking about themselves as conservatives,
right,
yet when it comes to the environment and issues like cap and trade, they're basically saying we should be able to despoil and to consume as much as we want,
right, regardless of the consequences. Right, it's the sort of unhinged hatred of the federal government, which is clearly trumping the sense of conserve or conservationism. It's interesting, in the last decade we saw, sort of under the radar, but even the evangelical and the religious movement was very much embracing environmentalism, saw a real connection between their sort of conservative religious views and saving the planet and conserving and being concerned about the future. And that was a very interesting trend we saw through this decade. But now that if it still exists, we saw, evangelical leaders signing on board for global warming conferences, et cetera, and really trying to get their, worshipers involved. But that has now been completely trampled, particularly in the last year, by this far right movement, particularly right wing movement, that no true patriotic American would even agree that global warming exists. So it's interesting. It's interesting that we're seeing the trampling of that conservation movement within the religious evangelicals. Because this hatred of the federal government trumps everything.
Trumps absolutely everything. Yeah. Again, on the line with us, Eric Bollard of Media Matters. You can find his work, mediamatters.org. And I want to follow up and change the subject just a little bit on that. I mean, we're seeing at the same time, at least we saw a headline here, that the cap and trade question, the question of global climate change, the Republicans are trying to turn it through the media into a question of taxes. I mean, they really are, seems to me, aiming at this idea of that any effort to regulate the environment is not just an effort that should offend conservatives in terms of big government,
right,
but that should offend people in terms of the idea that the government is going to ask them to sacrifice. I mean, in some ways, they are really going straight up against the very concept of shared sacrifice. I wonder if you think they're going to be as successful as they've been in that, or whether you think perhaps, whether it's climate change, whether it's this call for a tax to pay for an Afghanistan buildup, I wonder if you think that will be as successful, or whether it might be less successful in these particular times.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the Republican Party and the conservative movement always, you know, prefers everything be seen through the prism of taxation, and again, a sort of a rampant distrust of the federal government. But you have to sort of wonder if during the Bush years, the Republican Party lost some of its sway in terms of the topic of taxation and spending and things like that. We saw a federal government that literally could not stop spending when Republicans had control of the federal government. And so now to try to turn, environmentalism or global warming into a taxation and spending issue, traditionally that's sort of their base and their strong point. But again, I think they've lost some of that cachet, and I think that's why we're seeing the rise of the Tea Party movement, because these are people who don't think Republicans can be taken seriously on the issue of spending and things like that.
Last question for you again on the line with us, Eric Bollard of Media Matters. Matt Bai, not one of my favorite writers, but he did have a piece in the New York Times Magazine where he made the, not so brilliant observation, but still an important observation, that it now seems that there are more politicians who get into politics in order to be on TV, as opposed to the other way around, to get on TV so that you can get a political office. And he also says that we are seeing the rise of television and politics mixing, and you've made this point over and over again, that
yeah,
Fox News is really a wing of the Republican Party. I wonder if you think that phenomenon, and by the way, let's be fair, if you want to say that the MSNBC, some of its shows have become a little bit like that to the Democratic Party, some people argue that. I don't necessarily agree with it, but some people argue that. Just to be fair, what is this going to do to our politics? I mean, what is the ramifications in general for our politics when television and politics, there's no division anymore,
right,
between news and politics? What happens to our politics?
Well, we're going to see in the next, by 2012. I mean, as I wrote earlier this year, I mean, we're clearly going to have a Fox News candidate for president within the Republican primary. My hunch is it'll be Sarah Palin. But this will be a candidate who comes with the all but the official endorsement of Fox News and the bloggers.
Literally, parentheses, R-Fox News.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And whoever runs against that candidate within the Republican primary is going to have to deal with running not only against a candidate, but against an entire media campaign behind that person. And of course, it's unprecedented. We've never had a national, quote-unquote, news organization be in the business of promoting a candidate. But we saw it in New York 23, with the special election and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck pushing, the Tea Party candidate. And we're going to see it again in 2012, there's no doubt. So it'll be fascinating to see. My hunch is it'll be a nightmare for the Republican Party, because the Republican establishment, the people in D.C. who run campaigns for a living and know where the votes are and how you get people elected, do not think that Fox News has the answer in terms of how to get people elected, and New York 23 proved that. But it's going to be amazing.
And, so you're almost predicting kind of a civil war
of this. Yeah, there will be a GOP civil war, but it's going to be a media-driven civil war. I mean, there's always been knockdown, drag-out fights in the primary season, but this year one of those candidates is going to be backed by a media movement. It's going to be fascinating.
Well, we will. I'm sure Media Matters and you will be reporting on it, and we will be checking in with you as it happens. MediaMatters.org. Eric Bollert, he's the author, again, of Lapdogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush, and Bloggers on the Bus, How the Internet Changed Politics in the Press. Talk to you next week, Eric. Thanks so much.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. 9:20 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, I think we're going to do... We have Evan Ratliff of Wired Magazine, the interview that I've been very, very excited about. Evan Ratliff of Wired Magazine, he has the cover on Wired Magazine this month. He tried to disappear off the face of the earth, and there was a contest about whether people could find him. Fascinating, fascinating piece, and it speaks to the idea that, guess what? It's really, really hard in the digital age to disappear. It's really, really hard to find any kind of anonymity. We will talk to Evan Ratliff, the man who disappeared, after a traffic update with John Turk.
Things start to clear up just a little bit, but a lot of stop and go on the highway systems around town. Surface streets are improving, but lots of accidents to go through. Single vehicle accident northbound I-25 at Alameda. Also one in the backups just north of Emerson Street. On the southbound side, got a crash at Yale. That's causing delays back to Alameda. Speeds in the teens and 20s there. On I-70, got a crash on the eastbound side near Havana. Should be cleaned up and out of your way soon. Also have one on the surface street there, Havana near Florida. In Littleton, crash westbound C-470 at Alameda. Those delays back to Kipling, but a little looser there, so speeds up in the 20s and 30s. Forecast, cloudy and cold, snow lasting till late this afternoon. Lighter than we thought first, with about 1 to 3 inches around Denver. 2 to 5 in the high country to the south and north of the metro. Looking for a high of 8 degrees. Right now we're at 5 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Today.
With 5 times the selection, Jared is where to go for diamond jewelry this holiday.
That's Jared.
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, has literally hundreds of diamond bracelets, earrings, necklaces, and rings to choose from. Diamond solitaire earrings are always a great choice. At Jared, their extensive selection is priced from under $80 to $5,300 and includes their certified colorless diamonds.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at jared.com.
Don't rent electricity, own it. Find out how with Independent Power Systems at the Lowry Community Solar Event. The Coors Field Solar Experts will show you how to make your own power with solar electric and get up to 50% off with rebates and incentives. Better yet, find out how to get free electricity for 1 year when you go solar for zero down and no payments for 12 months. Save up to an additional $1,500 when you install your solar system in 2010. Learn how Wednesday, December 9th at 7 p.m. at the Stanley British Primaries School in Lowry. The XL Energy Solar Rewards rebate is dropping at regular intervals, so act now to lock in the maximum rebate. Learn how with Independent Power Systems Wednesday, December 9th at 7 p.m. at the Stanley British Primary School in Lowry. Go to solarips.com/Lowry to RSVP today or call 303-443-0115. Independent Power Systems, an authorized distributor of Kyocera high-quality, high-performance solar electric systems and modules. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field Solar Experts.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather, and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
It's the biggest no-brainer in the history of Earth. Call Lennox Financial, 720-889-9400. That's Lennox Financial, 720-889-9400.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's freezing out there, so stay warm. Bundle up. Only going up to about 13 or 14 degrees here in Colorado this morning. On the line with us now, Evan Ratliff. He has the cover story in this month's Wired magazine. He basically tried to disappear off the face of the earth. The broad strokes of the story are that Wired wanted to see if it's possible in the digital age to really disappear in terms of privacy, in terms of all the digital footprints that we now leave as people walking on this earth. Evan Ratliff was the reporter who tried to disappear, and there was a contest to see if people could find him. And it's a fascinating, fascinating piece. Evan, thank you for taking the time this morning.
My pleasure.
So tell us how you came up with this idea. I mean, what was the germination of you deciding to essentially disappear, change your life, adopt an entire new identity? I mean, I'm just trying to imagine you all at Wired sitting around thinking about how to make the case or at least report on how difficult it is to disappear. How did the germination of this idea come about?
Well, it started with, I've actually been sort of collecting little tales of people who disappear and people who fake their own deaths and try to start over someone new. I've been doing that for years. It's just a topic that fascinates me, somebody who picks up and just changes their life entirely or jettisons their life and then tries to start a new one. So I had been looking for one to write about, and then I came across a few really interesting ones earlier this year, when the economy was sort of hitting bottom and you get a lot of people who have debts that pile up and they sort of leave them behind, or people who run a Ponzi scheme and then they bail out on it. So I wrote a story about people who fake their deaths. And then we started thinking that we weren't really getting to the kind of, really getting inside of what it's like, because most of the people are in jail who've done this, or you can't find them if they've succeeded. So we thought maybe we could set up something that would kind of simulate some of what that would feel like and really get at what, how hard it is to do it, you know, over some at least semi-significant period of time.
Right. Now, before we get into how you did this, do you believe that Americans are in some ways, maybe not just Americans, people in general are fascinated by this? I mean, you see this is a big theme, one of the most compelling themes, for instance, in the hit show Mad Men, right? Don Draper is a guy I'm not going to give away anything, folks, for folks who hasn't watched the whole show, but Don Draper, this is a challenge for him. It's a question in the show surrounding Don Draper. Why do you think we are fascinated by the idea of disappearing? And I should also I'm curious if you know the answer. I mean, how prevalent is this? I mean, is it very prevalent? Do you have any numbers on how often this kind of thing happens?
Well, as far as the fascination, I think people are fascinated. I mean, in addition to Mad Men, it's something that comes up in a lot of American literature. If you go back to Twain or you look at The Great Gatsby, it's something that comes up in film all the time. So it's definitely a theme of American society, and that's partly, I think, because Americans believe in reinvention and being the ability to become somebody else, you know, both to move up in the world and then also that you might have the ability to completely reinvent yourself. And when things get tough and when you work yourself too hard or pressures build up on you, then a lot of people kind of have this fleeting fantasy of, well, maybe, you know, what if I made different choices, or what if I could be an entirely different person. So I don't think it's uncommon. I mean, I don't think very many people act on something like that. And as far as numbers, it's really difficult to tell. I mean, the authorities will keep very good track of missing teenagers and missing kids. So, you know, kids that run away, and there's a lot of efforts to try and track them down. But for adults, it's much more conflicted because if somebody walks away from their life, if they haven't done anything wrong and they're not leaving behind some really large obligation like child support that they owe, it's not clear if someone sort of should be deputized to go find them or not. So,
right. Like, what is a missing person? Right. Are you a missing person? Or are you just allowed to, you know, leave? Right. I mean, it's hard to define what that is.
Absolutely. And there was one study in England where they tried to figure it out, and they had all these gradations of people who disappeared, and that was the big question. Is someone missing just because someone says they're missing? Or if you don't want to talk to anyone that you know anymore, does that make you missing, or does that just make you a new person? So they can only come up with numbers of you know, some thousands of people that disappear every year or are reported missing, you know, that's 50-60% of them were intentionally missing, that they had gone missing because they intended
to, right. And I have to say, you know, when I read your piece, I knew when I was growing up, there was a kid at school whose dad disappeared. It was like the biggest, you know, kind of in our town. It was the biggest thing. The guy just disappeared, and nobody could believe it. But then you read your piece, and you read some of the details of your piece, and you realize that, you know, this is obviously uncommon, but it's not unprecedented. Now, I want to turn to how you actually did this. And again, on the line with us, Evan Ratliff. He's got the cover story in Wired magazine this month. He disappeared off the face of the earth. There was a contest to see if he could be found. The idea of the piece was to see how difficult or easy it is to reinvent yourself under a new identity. I guess, give us some of the things that were most challenging, I guess, technologically or logistically, to actually disappear. Maybe your top three or four things that were most difficult to do, and in some ways that people might not really expect are that hard to do.
Well, I should say, first of all, that we had some rules, so I couldn't. It wasn't a specific rule, but it was sort of, the idea wasn't that I would go off the grid. So I wasn't going to go live in a tent somewhere. I was really going to try to reinvent myself. So
to be a functional member of society.
Yeah, exactly. So in that sense, I had to find a way to try to establish my new identity, my new name. And it's sort of the opposite problem of protecting your privacy. It's sort of like trying to get your new name out there. So I set up, you know, new Facebook accounts and Twitter accounts, and I sort of got on all these things and tried to establish myself as a real person so that I could convince people that I met that this was really me, and I could build up some sort of background for myself. And that's actually pretty hard to do. I mean, it's hard to make friends, to create a sort of even a really brief history about yourself that people will, you know, sort of accept as real, as legitimate. So I spent a lot of time doing that, and then, of course, I spent a lot of time covering my tracks, so there was so much information out there about me and that people were using to try to track me down that I had to sort of disguise my...
About the real you, not your alternate identity.
About the real me.
Right.
About the real me. So I had to disguise my internet address, I had to try to throw them off my trail, I had to try to, you know, do some things that I wouldn't do in my normal life. You know, like I sold my car, for instance, partway through and started taking buses, things like that to throw off my physical trail. And then I guess the other sort of real difficult thing was that I was online all the time because I was trying to track my pursuers, and I was trying to figure out what it was that they were doing to find me. But that was also opening up a possibility that they could use that. They could track me tracking them, which is eventually what happened. So there was a lot of sort of highly technical software that I was using to try to disguise my location.
And let's get to what happened. I mean, how did they ultimately track you down? If you can boil it down to one or two things that gave you away, how did they track you down? And if I'm not mistaken, the way that they had to track you is they couldn't, I don't know if there was a rule, but nobody broke the law in tracking you down. Is that right?
That's mostly right. there was money on the line, so they could win $5,000 if they found me, 3,000 of which would come from out of my pocket. So they would not be allowed to win the money if they broke the law in the process of finding me. Now, some people did some things that are probably right on the edge. You know, somebody could could bring them in front of a judge and a jury, and they would probably or write them a ticket, and they would have some risk of it being declared illegal. But almost everyone sort of stayed with these rules.
Right. They, I mean, like, nobody identity thefted well. You or something. Or
yeah, nobody did anything really crazy. I mean, people just, they made a lot of calls. They called hotels. They called rental car agencies. They did all that sort of stuff. But everybody did it in a legitimate kind of way, just asking questions and trying to find out information. So the to boil down how they found me, essentially they did track my internet address. So a guy in Seattle was able to figure out my fake identity. He figured out that I was logging into a website that he had created about my disappearance, and he then was tracking my computer. So every time I got on the internet, he could see where I was logging in from. So he tracked me to New Orleans, and then he basically enlisted people on the ground in New Orleans to go out and look for me.
And it ultimately worked. It's, I guess what, there was like whoa, 2 weeks or a week left in the contest when they found you. Is that right?
Yeah, there was about a week left.
Came right down to the wire. My final question for you again, Evan Ratliff on the line with us. He's the Wired magazine writer. He's got the cover in Wired magazine about his disappearance to see how difficult it is to create a new identity for somebody, for oneself. We have the article linked at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. My final question for you, which I think is something that people don't take into account. A lot of people have these fantasies of creating a new life for themselves, running away from their own lives. What was the downside psychologically for you? I mean, how, you know, because people idealize it, but there's a whole there's a lot of passages in your piece about how actually psychologically difficult it is. Tell us about that.
Well, there were two big things. I mean, and even when I say them, they'll probably sound obvious to you, but a lot of people, when they think about vanishing or starting over, they think of it as sort of a vacation. And their fantasy incorporates all of the best parts of it. I'll go live on a beach somewhere and, you know, I'll relax all day and I won't have all these obligations that I have on a daily basis. But for one thing, it's not at all like taking a vacation in the sense that it's not like you can contact your family, you can contact your friends whenever you feel like it and just you can take a break from it. I mean, you really have to sever all contact. And I quickly found out that that feels very different than just going away on vacation and saying, well, I'm not going to be able to talk to you for a couple of weeks. So that's one aspect. And then the other aspect is if there are actually people looking for you, as of course in my case there were lots of people looking for me, you never really feel comfortable. You never really feel good. So even when you're, you know, I was sitting on the beach a few times, but I didn't feel good about it. It didn't feel like I was relaxing and taking a break. It felt like any old person that walked by might recognize me. And, you know, that's really no way to enjoy your life. And I think that was what I ran into, a combination of paranoia and a feeling that, well, if you disconnect from everyone and everything you know, who are you? Especially if you're lying to everyone that you run into about your identity.
Yeah, and that is the big question. It was really a fascinating, fascinating piece. You really did a great job with it. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning, and thanks for the great read. It was really, really terrific. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks.
All right. Evan Ratliff from Wired Magazine, his article is linked on our website at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. It's in the show rundown for today. I tell you something, it was really, really a great article. I mean, it's like a page-turner. You don't run into many page-turners in magazines. And it really kind of freaked me out a little bit, you know, about the idea of how much of your information is out there if somebody really wants to try to find your information. It's definitely, for those people who have questions about privacy, it's a really interesting piece. Also an interesting piece about the downside of that fantasy of running away from your problems. Really fascinating piece. Check it out, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. After the break, we'll do our news of the weird. Weirdest story actually is a local story. One of the Keaton family, one member of the Keaton family from Family Ties, one of the most innocent members, or seemingly innocent members, of the Keaton family, in a lot of legal trouble.
Yeah, guess which one that is.
Yeah, I wonder if people can guess which one that is.
Of the Keaton siblings was probably the most...
Yeah, most problematic in real life.
Right, most problematic and docile during the show.
Yeah, right, most docile in the show, and most problematic in real life. In some legal hot water
right here in Colorado. Stick around for that after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. It is still brutal out there with a lot of crashes being reported on C-470 out in Littleton. Slide-off accidents near Morrison and Alameda. That's affecting both directions of the highway there on I-70. Got a couple different crashes as well. Eastbounder near Sheridan, westbound side at Peoria. So in Aurora, going to be really nasty as you travel westbound from Chambers to the side of that crash. And on 25, got a crash on the northbound side at 20th Street. Just a pretty nasty commute out there. It started off pretty slow, but lots of accidents developing. And the surface streets are probably going to be slick to you as well. Also be careful on those ramps, bridges, and overpasses. It's also pretty slick in the high country from Georgetown all the way up past Vail. The forecast today, snow will be lighter than we first thought. Just about 1 to 3 inches here in the metro. Maybe a little more out in the high country foothills into the north and south of the metro. Going to be cold, though. Look for high around 8 degrees. Currently, we're still at 6 here in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Today, AM 760 is brought to you by Cottman Transmission.
Don't miss Kohl's cash-in sale this Tuesday and Wednesday only from 7 a.m. till midnight. You'll get $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 you spend. It's like getting paid to shop. The more you know, the more you Kohl's. Kohl's. Expect great things.
Colorado listens, debates, and argues on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. You also get perspective from David Sirota, Ed Schultz, Tom Hartman, Mario Solis Marriage, Randy Rhodes, and a host of others. AM 760 is here for the community, and the community shows up here every day. If this was your ad, we'd be listening to it right now. Why not advertise on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk? Go to am760.net, keyword advertise.
There, cool jacket.
Oh, thanks. My wife got it for me at REI. Perfect gift for days like this.
No kidding. Crisp winter air, lots of fresh snow, the sun is shining. Does it get any better than this?
Let's think about that for a minute. Yeah, no.
It doesn't.
This is pretty much best thing ever.
Yeah.
Just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out. Guarantee your holiday happiness by giving great gifts from REI. Hurry into your local REI store or shop REI.com. REI. Find out.
If you're looking for a new or used Corvettes or want to get the best parts and service and repairs for the Corvette you already own, you can trust Purefoy Chevrolet. Find us at DenverCorvette.com and CorvetteDenver.com or PurefoyChevrolet.com. Any way you spell it, it's Purefoy Chevrolet.
Stainless Steel Gourmet Kitchen, Washer and Dryer. That's a package you can't wait to unwrap. It's your gift from Ryland Homes, only during the Red Bow event this December. Visit Ryland.com now. Restrictions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
And you pay a lot less interest, which shortens your loan without changing your spending habits. The best home loan ever. 866-259-8206. 866-259-8206.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit matrixdirect.com.
Do you think you're getting your money's worth for your life insurance policy? Because if you're 40 and married and are paying more than $14 a month, chances are you're paying too much. Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. And if you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free no-obligation quote. Call 1-800-500-2609. Since 1995, Matrix Direct has helped over 1 million people save money on their term life insurance. Don't you want to know how much we could save you? It only takes 5 minutes, and you could save up to 75%, and the call is absolutely free. Call Matrix Direct, 1-800-500-2609. That's 1-800-500-2609. 1-800-500-2609.
That's the music for our News of the Weird segment, and as promised, this is a crazy story. So which Keaton sibling from Family Ties is in the most trouble?
Was it Alex?
No, it was not. No, it was not. It was Brian Bonsall, who was Andy Keaton. Remember, they introduced him about midway through the show, the little baby boy. This is the Dateline from Boulder, Colorado. Police say a former cast member of the 1980s television show, Brian Bonsall, has been arrested for investigation of assault in Colorado. Police say Monday that 28-year-old Brian Bonsall got into a fight at an apartment on Saturday and hit a friend with part of a broken wooden stool. Bonsall allegedly told officers he had been drinking and didn't remember what happened. He's being held in the Boulder County Jail and was due in court Tuesday. And the difference between the picture of Bonsall on the on Family Ties and I guess the, what is it, the mugshot or the recent shot?
Yeah, you know what? I'll put the mugshot of him up on the website, yeah. So you can just take a look at this.
Yeah,
picture.
Actually, if you can, put it next to or adjacent to, I guess, or on top of
a picture
the
of
old
him as a little
picture.
Kid.
Yeah, so check our website, am760.net. We'll
man,
put a post
violence
picture.
History.
Yeah, well, because the reason you got to see him is he got like all sort of tattooed out.
He's
under.
Got a butterfly tatted on the front of his neck.
Yeah, it's pretty.
The front. That's got to be one of the most.
Yeah.
Painful places to probably get a tattoo.
He does not look like the innocent little boy from the show. Tiger Woods update. We've been talking about the why the Tiger Woods story is important at a deeper level. So let's go back to the superficial level. The headline at KDVR, woman taken from Tiger Woods' home to a hospital. Orange County firefighters responded to a medical call at Tiger Woods' mansion this morning. So the drama continues to become more dramatic. This headline off the Huffington Post, Glenn Beck's golden conflict of interest, Glenn Beck's fervent advocacy of gold, coupled with his role as a paid spokesman for a gold sales company, has prompted some to wonder why he doesn't disclose his apparent conflict of interest. The New York Times' Bill Carter asked Fox News about Beck's promotion of gold, but the network did not address the conflict of interest or the question of disclosure. That's a story over at the Huffington Post. Check it out there. AP report from Tennessee. A Tennessee man's homeowner's insurance apparently doesn't cover acts of cow. Jerry Lynn Davis called the Hawkins County Sheriff's Office on Thursday complaining that a neighbor's cow had been licking his house. In the process, David says the curious bovine did about $100 in damage by ripping off a screen window, cracking the glass, and pulling down a gutter.
That's great.
So the insurance company is saying cow licks are not covered. More from Tennessee. Wow, Tennessee's a place of weirdness today. This is from Murfreesboro.
There's some weird stuff that happens in Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee's a weird place. A Middle Tennessee man was arrested after police said he drunk dialed 911 and has called police 47 times over the last year. Here's a good idea. Don't drunk dial 911. That's a really, really stupid, really dumb thing to do. Fellow Iraqi turns tables on Bush shoe thrower. That's off the Reuters wire. An Iraqi reporter in prison for throwing his shoes at President George W. Bush found himself on the receiving end of a similar footwear attack in Paris on Tuesday. Now, the journalist whose flare-up against Bush last December turned into a symbol of Iraqi anger was speaking at a news conference to promote his campaign for victims of the war in Iraq when a man in the audience hurled a shoe at him. I guess he had it coming to him. All SlimFast canned drinks are now being recalled. All canned SlimFast drinks are being voluntarily recalled by the company over fears of bacterial contamination that could cause diarrhea, nausea, and vomiting. The recall affects all 10 million products currently on the market. That's just not news of the weird. That's news of the scary and gross. A couple more stories here off the news of the weird. Wire, lizard changes its diet to avoid predators. A scientist from the University of Salamanca and another from Yale University have shown that the presence of predators affects the behavior of a lizard species from the Negev Desert in Israel. According to the study, these reptiles move less and catch less mobile and different prey if they're under pressure from predators. So they actually change their diet. And then the final news of the weird story,
Sarah Palin opens the door to a third-party bid. In an interview with conservative talk radio host Lars Larson, The Washington Post notes Sarah Palin said she would consider a possible third-party bid for president in 2012. Run, Sarah, run.
Did you know that Brian Bonsall, this just came in from our buddy Greg O via instant message, did you know that this Brian Bonsall character was Worf's son on Star Trek?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So Brian Bonsall,
thank you, Greg O.
Thank you, Greg O. We love updates like that. We're going to go back to the phones after... Oh, we can take one. We got two calls holding. We're going to go to the phones. 303-713-7600. If you want to weigh in on anything we've been discussing this morning, we'll go to, let's see who was first, Jim in Denver. Jim, you're on AM760. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, man.
And really, thanks for your contribution to America's brain.
Thanks, man.
I wanted to address celebrities speaking out on public issues. And I think the volcanic example is Pat Tillman. You know, this is a wonderful person who gave up a storybook career to go and fight for his nation based on what he thought was real, you know, that he heard from the media and everything. And apparently he had I don't think I'm personally opining on this. I think it's been covered quite extensively. And then I guess it was gagged, so I heard. You know, he had a change of heart. And this was a person who I think would have been very dangerous for the Bush government at that time to come back and start speaking about. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I mean, I think that there's a lot of questions about how his death was covered up, and the person who was involved in the alleged cover up was the same general who's pushing us farther into the Afghanistan war. I think that's absolutely right. And you know, I don't want to get into conspiracy theorizing about Pat Tillman. But I do want to say this, that people like Pat Tillman, who have platforms, who speak out on difficult issues, and I think of, you know, think about Michael Moore, for instance, they are immediately marginalized by the traditional media, immediately. And we don't know if that would have happened to Pat Tillman, but we can say that a lot of people who have used their platform in a courageous way have been marginalized. And that happened in many cases to Muhammad Ali as a historic example. And my guess is it might have happened to Pat Tillman, and it was a tragic loss that he never had the chance in as big a way as he could have to be part of that, to make that case with his platform. Hey, Jim, thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. 9:52 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. We'll take a break. After the break, I'll fill you on a couple of national stories we didn't get to today. And we'll take a couple more calls. 303-713-7600. Remember, call Michael Bennett's office, 202-224-5852. Tell him to vote against Ben Bernanke. He's got a key vote on that. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Man, the accidents just keep coming in for us, Dave. Let's go through them. Westbound I-70 near Peoria. Also got a jackknife semi blocking the right two lanes. Eastbound I-70 at Brighton Boulevard. That's causing delays back past I-25. Now, crash southbound I-25 near the Burford exit. Also got one westbound 76 at Pecos. Eastbound I-70 near Sheridan. Slide-off accidents in Littleton on C-470 near Morrison and Alameda. Looks like both directions of the highway pretty messed up there. Also crash northbound I-25 around 20th Street and northbound I-25 near Colorado. That one just popped up on the screen. Be careful out there, folks. It's really slick. Forecast, cloudy and cold. Snow lasting till late this afternoon. Just a little bit of snow, though. 1 to 3 inches in Denver. At first, they expected 3 to 6. A little lighter than we expected. Look for a high of 8. Currently 6 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Low-fare holiday flights out of Denver are available now during the United Home for the Holidays fare sale. Visit united.com/densale today.
You know, when it comes to car batteries failing, it happens to all of us. That's why Interstate Batteries has developed the ED18 tester so you'll know before your battery fails. I'm Norm Miller, chairman of Interstate Batteries, encouraging you to get your battery tested. Get the peace of mind that comes from knowing you'll hear this. Instead of this. Call 1-800-CRANK-IT or visit interstatebatteries.com to find the dealer nearest you. Interstate Batteries.
outrageously dependable.
The holiday season brings lots of parties, family gatherings, and plenty of pictures. Look your best for the holidays. Restore your hair's natural beauty and healthy appearance, guaranteed, with Ovation Cell Therapy.
This holiday, do something special for your hair. Repair the damage from harsh chemicals and heat styling. Grow your hair thicker, stronger, longer, and faster, up to twice as fast with Ovation Cell Therapy.
Ovation is 100% guaranteed to grow your hair stronger and stop breakage naturally. No transplants, no prescription meds, no side effects. And Ovation is completely safe, even for chemotherapy hair loss recovery.
Look your best this holiday season with Ovation Cell Therapy. Buy a set for you.
And give a set to a special friend on your holiday list.
And save on both. Ovation makes a great holiday gift.
Give the gift you love to get. Give the Ovation Holiday Gift Set, a special holiday package at a special holiday price. Visit OvationHair.com and enter AM760 to receive a special 10% introductory savings. OvationHair.com.
9:55 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. Remember, check our website, AM760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. We have the must-read of the day. Are liberals useless? Chris Hedges, the progressive author, has published a new piece entitled Liberals Are Useless. I don't necessarily agree with his conclusion, but it makes a number of thought-provoking points. It's linked on our website, AM760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Also there, in a couple minutes, you will see that before and after, or really then and now, picture of Brian Bonsall, the Family Ties actor, who is now in some legal hot water, facing assault charges here in Colorado. You just got to check it out. Also, want to update you, the results of our poll on Jared Fogle. Remember, we had the poll on our website to see if you thought that the new picture of supposedly overweight Jared is real. 60% of you say that the photo is real. 39% of you say it's not. I'm sticking to it. I don't think it is. I don't think it is either. I don't want to believe it. A couple of national stories I just want to update you on. We talked yesterday about the withdrawal date for Afghanistan. This on the wire now. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs said on Monday that U.S. troops in Afghanistan could start coming home before the stated July 2011 withdrawal date, but under no circumstances, he stressed, would the administration delay that transition. It could happen earlier for sure. It won't happen later. Again, another that seems to contradict what the generals and what the Obama White House's national security spokespeople are saying. A lot of mixed messages out there. We will stay on top of that story for you here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's go to our last call of the day. Rich in Denver. Rich, you're on AM 760.
Hey, good morning, John. How are you? I was telling your screener, you know, that guy, and by the way, that's Ellen Wood's mom, who was taken to the hospital this morning.
Ah, okay.
But I was telling your screener, if the guy wanted to really disappear, he should have pulled, you know, you're talking about a page turner. I'll tell you, it was a page turner was the outside story by John Krakauer about Christopher McCandless.
Right, right.
You know, into the wild. I mean, you know, in electrical age, you know, you can be found anywhere. I mean, you know, you get, you know, enemy of the state with, you know, they see you from, you know, what's his name, Will Smith's movie where they put a tracker on you and they can spot you anywhere. If he really, you know, cut the Social Security card, cut the credit cards, donate the $25,000 to Oxfam and just walk off into the wild, or, you know, Christmas Island out in the middle of the Pacific. You could disappear.
Yeah, you definitely could. But as he said, the point of his piece was to see if not just if you could disappear, but if you could establish a whole new identity, a whole new life, and integrate yourself into normal working society. And it's frighteningly difficult to do that. I say frighteningly because your privacy, it's very hard to protect your privacy in our modern world. All right, that's the show. Tomorrow, Matt Taibbi of Rolling Stone magazine. Until then, stay warm.
In national news, the New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited number of classic U.S. silver coins. At the end of this broadcast, we'll provide a toll-free number you can call to receive free information and a free DVD. Millions of classic U.S. silver coins were damaged in circulation, and millions more were melted down during World War I for their precious silver content, leaving relatively few in existence. But a hoard of shining, brilliant, uncirculated silver coins, saved from destruction, were amassed and stored away in vaults. Today, in a startling announcement, the New York Mint is releasing to the public a limited quantity of these shimmering U.S. silver coins with a historical legacy beyond their silver value. Available on a first-come, first-served basis by calling 1-800-400-1841. To receive the free collector's DVD, call now, The number again is 1-800-400-1841. That's 1-800-400-1841.
You can eat award-winning barbecue for half price. With Bargain Watch, buy a $30 gift card to Brothers Barbecue for $15 at am760.net. Brothers Barbecue, fresh, never frozen, always grilled to order. Great deals like this one brought to you by Comcast.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.